Attention, radio listeners.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Totally.
I used to be number one in this town, but people don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is, Kevin.
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
This is hot. It is hot in every which way you can think of. It is hot.
We have a governor, Mr. Schwarzenegger. He's from Russia, I think. We love on him, Mr. Terminator.
I used to be legit. In fact, I was too legit. I was too legit to quit. But now, I'm not legit. I'm unlegit. And for that reason, I must quit.
And now.
Now you guys make, you guys made a different, I guess you put a DVD in?
They're tricking you because you're dumb.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Wednesday the 12th of November.
That was a lot of direction that I got when I was down there. I appreciate that.
Sometimes you need direction.
Sometimes you need it. Unfortunately, that
Don't
is true.
Don't be offended. We're just trying to help.
How's everybody? Good?
Good. Very good. Enjoying the warming weather. It was really cold last week, and it's going to be like 90 by Friday again.
Is it going to be?
It's insane, that's great. This weather.
That's great news.
I was kind of enjoying the fall weather, I have to say, but...
Yeah.
You're tough to please, aren't you, Lisa?
I am.
Enjoying the fall weather. Sure glad it's warm enough. Sure was cold. Sure glad it's going to be hot.
Here's the problem. In my house, mm-hmm. in the winter, there's no sun at all. The sun, just the way that the sun
Oh, it doesn't come travels, in any of the windows?
It doesn't come in. So it's dark as night all the time. So in the winter, it's really brutal. So that's the hard part.
Well, this will cheer you up. What? You guys follow the thrilling conclusion, I guess they aired on ESPN last night, of the World Series of Poker? Kevin, I know you probably watched it.
I didn't, actually. I was watching hockey.
They over the summer, and I don't know why they do the schedule like this, but over the summer, they narrowed down the original field of almost 7,000 players down to 9. I think in July, they cut it down to 9. And then they take a few months off, and then they come back. And then over this past weekend in Las Vegas, they have those 9 sit down and whittle it down. And it's interesting. I didn't know too much about this because I'm not the card player. I know you love the poker. You start with 20,000 chips, and they don't have any monetary value. I guess you win your way into the tournament, but the 20,000 chips don't have any monetary value. And to win the tournament, you have to collect all the chips from all the players.
Right. A lot of people do have to pay for it, but it doesn't relate exactly dollar for dollar. You can win your way in, but most people have to pay for it.
Yeah, you can pay to get in, but the chips aren't worth anything, right?
Right.
It's not like you're playing for money. You're playing for chips. So you start with 20,000, and you have to get all the chips and play from all the players, which is 137 million, by the way, is how much you end up with, which I'd love to see stacked up on the table.
Yeah.
So they narrow it down this weekend. I guess they narrow it down on Saturday to the final two, and then they come back on Sunday, I guess it was, to finish it up. And the player who won... Here are the two numbers that I'm going to leave you with. The player who won, A, won $9.15 million for winning the World Series of Poker.
Oh, my God.
That's skyrocketed, by the way, in the last couple of years.
Yeah, as it's gotten more popular in the big TV contract. And two, and this is the part that will blow your mind, he's 22 years old.
Are you serious?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, he's going to blow that money?
Who?
He probably is, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those from Denmark or something who's been playing cards for like 4 years and he's on the World Series of Poker.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I've played in the World Series of Poker, but it's like Bean says, it is weeks and months long sometimes, and it's mainly held at the Rio in Vegas, and they're gigantic rooms with hundreds of poker tables. I mean, he's not kidding. There's thousands of people that get in there, and it's just an amazing amount of luck that you have to have.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, skill, amazing. Of course, but luck, too, right?
You got to both.
Yeah, I mean, just think how many games you have to play to get anywhere near the top, and you've got to win them all. It's because you're eliminated if you lose one.
Yeah,
has one person ever won twice?
I'm sure they have. It's been a while, but there are a few guys who, like in the 90s and then the early 2000s.
There weren't so many people
when there weren't so many. But when you get 7,000 people in there, you know, if there's a former champion playing at your table, and you, there's a lot of people who just go, I just want to go all in so I can be, you know, on TV against this guy or to force this guy. You know, if I beat him, that'll be great. So they're willing to risk everything. Yeah. And they'll, so the players who really know what they're doing have to kind of sidestep that as much as they can as they build their way all the way to the top. But man, it is,
wow,
it is rough.
Unbelievable. He, the kid, whose name, by the way, is, Peter, Eastgate, I guess. Peter Eastgate is a kid from Denmark. He tried college, lasted a week, then decided he'd rather play cards professionally.
Yeah, wow.
Sounds like and a good choice.
I guess it paid off for him. $9 million at 22. Now, what is a he won with a wheel straight. What is a wheel straight?
I'm not sure. Kevin? I'm not sure what that is.
His opponent had two pair, twos and fours, and he won with a wheel straight. I don't know what that is either, but that's what it took.
I know straight's five numbers in a row, but I don't know what the wheel part is. So
right.
Oh, man. That's
amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing, and it's a lot of fun. But, man, oh, man, they play. The guys who make it through that, they play forever. They'll start at, you know, 7 in the morning and lay off at like 7 or 8 at night.
You say that you have played in the World Poker Championship?
Yeah.
So
The
World Series. So if you kept winning, would you have to quit work to keep going?
Absolutely. I mean, and I wouldn't a second.
Do they play every day of the week?
I don't think they play every day. I think it's one of those deals where they have side tournaments and all different kinds of things. And you play and then you can go back and play. You don't have to do it continuously. It's very confusing because there are so many different tournaments within the World Series.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago, Stryker did Loveline from Las Vegas because he was in it for a couple of days. He was in the World Series of Poker for like 2 or 3 days and he just kept doing Loveline from a station in
How
Vegas.
Long did you last? How many days were you playing, Kevin?
Oh, just the one day.
One day?
I mean, just 45 minutes.
I got through like a couple of tables and then, you know,
But what a rush, though, when you're sitting there to know that if things go my way, if I do get a little bit of luck, who knows how far I could go.
Yeah, that's true. But you're also sitting in a room with 1,000 people playing poker. So you go, wow, I'm going to have to really get lucky.
So you got to win every game. Is that right?
You know what? I don't know. The first time I went bust, I was out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess you've got your chips to play with and you have to keep win. You have to win so that you don't, you know, get down to zero on your chips.
Right. If you go all in and then get knocked out, then you're out.
Which is commonplace that you have to go all in, right?
Yeah. Way too common. It's really difficult. But we have somebody on hold who was placed 13th in the World Series of Poker.
No kidding.
Which, by the way, is really an accomplishment as well.
Yeah.
So we'll start. Really, really good.
Start Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew now at 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Your calls on any topic, get on the air, get a prize. How about a pair of tickets to see Staind and Papa Roach at the San Manuel Indian Casino? Can you play poker there, by the way, at the Indian Casino?
I imagine.
December 18th, plus we'll throw in a copy of the Quantum of Solace video game. Why don't we start with our World Series of Poker guy, Peter, in Northridge on line 3. Hey, Peter, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do, Peter?
It's a satellite tournament to get you a seat to play in the World Series of Poker.
Okay.
There was 1,400 people in the room, and I got down to 13th, and top 12 paid.
Oh.
Which kind of sucked.
If you would have got one place higher, you would have made money.
Yeah, I think the top prize was $20,000 and a seat into the World Series of Poker to play, which cost $20,000 to get in.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Wow.
So you can either pay it or win it to start. But it's confusing how many different satellite tournaments there are and different ways to get in and sponsorships and all kinds. It's really a weird
thing. But how awesome is it that you may quibble with me calling it a sport, but that's something that a fan can watch from his house and go, hey, I'd like to play with those professional guys, and he can figure out a way to do it. There's no way to do that in hockey, for instance.
No, that's true.
You can't win your way up into the league as an amateur.
Yeah. That's true. Also, too, when you're playing, you can, if you get knocked out, they have rebuys, so you basically pay another entry fee and you can sit in the next day.
Oh,
so you don't have to leave and you get another chance.
So they're willing to take your money in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They'll keep taking it until you're broke.
They'll do that for a certain amount of time, but once you get in the main tournament, you can't rebuy, right?
Correct. If you're in the main tournament, there's so up to a certain day, then you can, then you can't rebuy.
Yeah.
All right, thank you,
Very
Peter.
Exciting. I'd love to know, by the way, and this might be an interesting topic. I don't know how many people we'd find, but there have to be a lot of people who make their living gambling professionally.
Oh, I think that'd be easy to find in this city, yeah.
Definitely.
Really?
Yeah, oh. I mean, sports betting alone, I imagine, would do it. But right. same
I would be
thing.
Fascinated if, I mean, if that were your job, I mean, call it a job, but I mean, if you're, you know, Cousin Sal or somebody and you could make a salary, that's Jimmy's Cousin Sal, who's, you know, heavy into the gaming, and you can make a, you know, you can make a living just betting on football, how great a life would that be?
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Until you lose.
5 minutes
right,
a week.
That's what I'm thinking.
Until you lose, my friend. Then it sucks. All right, where should we go here? Let's go to...
Well, we got to talk to Chris and Camarillo. I know that.
All right. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Chris.
What'd it do?
Yeah,
I saw the most disturbing movie over the weekend. It's called Teeth.
Oh, it's on my Netflix queue right now. I can't wait.
That's where the woman has teeth in her vagina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a porno. It's on the shelves at Blockbuster.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that she has sex, her... tooth or teeth comes out and bites the guys.
Right. I think we know how that would work.
Why would you rent that movie?
I don't know. Maybe I got something wrong upstairs. I don't know.
No, you know, it's something like that. It sounds bad enough to maybe be great.
Really?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
You just weren't hoping to see boobies?
Well, that too.
Yeah,
probably.
Pretty much. Or subconsciously, I kind of wanted to see the tooth inside the, you know.
But I bet they don't show it, though, huh?
No, of course not. But they show plenty of, you know, the guy parts falling off, being bitten off.
Sure. Oh, and that's on your Netflix list.
That's on
all
my queue right now.
Good times.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call and the recommendation on that.
Mm. We might need to do another topic of bad movies that people love.
Absolutely.
Because that's one of them.
Fascinating.
You know, that was one of them. The black sheep is the one that I think about, where the sheep started attacking and the humans started.
That was awesome.
It was unbelievable. Let's go to Adam in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Adam.
I was calling to find out if you guys watch a True Blood show.
I love True Blood.
Yes, Sookie Stackhouse. Oh, Anna Paquin.
She's Anna Paquin, yeah.
Oh, Anna Paquin, yeah.
She's great. That's the show on HBO about vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And right. it's a whole different world where you can go to a bar and order blood. So it's a drink called True Blood, so you don't actually have to kill people. If you're a vampire, you can just order blood. You know.
Just hang out with the regular folks.
Well, you can. They don't get along well, but yeah, it's a fascinating story. And she shows her cans about every other episode, doesn't she?
Does she really? Wow.
Okay, great talking to you.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm about one episode behind, but it's fantastic. I think it's on Sunday nights.
Okay,
it's a great show. All right, do we have any time for anything else?
Probably not, but we'll get back to you tomorrow if you want to try us on Kevin Bean's What It Do, Nephew. We do to open the show now every day. A lot of schedule changes here that are confusing our listeners a great deal, by the way.
Yeah. Well, we're off at 9 a.m., and then we're on at 5 to 6 in the afternoon.
Yes.
Right. Got an email yesterday, Lisa. You'll love this, from someone who was convinced that we'd finally been fired because she gets up at 9.
Oh.
Monday she wakes up and Kevin and Bean aren't on. She goes, huh, that's weird. Then Tuesday she wakes up and Kevin and Bean aren't on. She goes, that's it. I guess they finally made the call. I knew it was only a matter of time. I knew there was not going to be a goodbye show, but I'm sorry to see you guys go.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It really is only a matter of time, so she's right about that.
We have been hearing from a lot of slacker listeners who for some reason don't have to get up until 9 o'clock or don't ever hear our show before 9 a.m., which has been, you know, kind of eye-opening to think how lucky those people are.
Yeah, no kidding. Boy, I would love to have that schedule.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just not have to get up till 9 in the morning.
Sweet.
On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to tell you about the possum that's trying to kill me. I don't know why. I was prepared.
Did you see him
for
this morning?
I was prepared for it this morning. Prepared.
Okay. Yes, and?
Gun with a single silver bullet and a cross.
Excellent.
I think that made me vampires more than
out,
possum.
I was ready for it, and I looked around. There was no possum. I was like, all right, yeah.
You scared it.
How you like me now?
So right now it's possum 1, Kevin 1. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
We have Ed Begley Jr. in the studio today.
Endlessly
Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, he is endlessly fascinating. He's
the best.
He's the original green guy, too.
Yeah, like 25 years ago, he was making his own compost.
And a really good actor, too, by the way. And well-loved in Hollywood. Nobody has a bad word to say about Mr. Begley.
You're right.
Got to tell you why Ralph is the Nazi Evite police. Coming up just after 6. We'll talk to Beer Mug and our Shirts Till It Hurts campaign.
It's going very well.
It is going very well.
People are so generous.
And LaQuisha will be here talking about Paris Hilton's My New BFF.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
So that's coming up in a minute. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Garman joins us, as he does each morning at this time, with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on for a Wednesday morning, Ralph?
Save on drugs.
What?
Save on drugs.
What does that mean?
What do you mean?
I might put them on the list.
You're going to put them on the list?
Might have to put them on the list.
The bad list? The list that you don't want to be on?
Yes, the list you don't want to be on. you're around
like
me.
Your friends that you evite, that list?
Well, not as bad as that, but I don't understand the and maybe this is not a phenomenon that is specific to Save on Drugs, but do you run into the problem when you try to buy razor blades, replacement blades for your razor if you're a guy and you shave with a razor?
And they're locked.
Exactly. Yeah, I go in there and there is a bulletproof plexiglass case about 4 inches deep. Mm-hmm. And it's like a vending machine where you don't put coins in. There's a drawer. There's a button you have to hit and you have to pull a drawer out and it has to drop from a safe somewhere upstairs in Save-On and you got to get it out. And it never works. The spring-loaded thing's all jammed up and things are... I couldn't buy razor blades this morning. I was in a rush to get here. Yep. Stopped by the 24-hour Save-On, tried to buy razor blades. And you needed like a welding mask and an acetylene torch to get just razor blades. What is there some band of razor blade thieves roaming the Southland that they need to protect all their Fusion Gillette blades from?
It is pretty much the only thing in that little area, so it must be. I mean,
and it's locked away. Razor blades are locked away. And the drugstore is filled with drugs.
Yeah.
And things that you would think, they're lot smaller. There are a lot smaller packages in that store would be easier to steal. It's a lot more expensive things, a lot more valuable things if you're a drug addict or something. What is the insane need for protection for razor blades?
Even in this economy, you would feel perfectly safe putting your cash right behind that thing.
Easily.
No one can get to
no
it.
No way you can get razor blades. In the middle of the morning, that's for sure.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I know there's a lot of wacky stuff that's locked up now, like spray paint, you know, to stop with taggers and stuff like that.
But I
can't figure out. I'm trying to think. They're not. I mean, you can go to the hardware aisle and buy a straight razor if you wanted to slash your wrist.
Sure.
So it's not to protect the public. This is just to shave your face,
you
right?
That's
all we're talking
about. You
can
buy a gun easier than you can buy razor blades in the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Let's,
every store I go to has this lockdown procedure for razor blades.
Let's call them up. Let's get producer Alex to line up a drugstore. We can call and ask and
little
find out.
Little cartridges. They're tiny little cartridges.
Right. They can't hurt anyone.
They're safety razors. That's what they're called. You couldn't even kill yourself if you wanted to.
If you were doing your best.
You bring up the Gillette Fusion blade into a cockpit. All right, we're going to Argentina. I'm hijacking you.
Otherwise, I'm going to shave you really close.
I might even nick you. Look, this one's got a blade on the other side for sideburns. I'm going to trim your sideburns really horribly.
So then if you have time, you stand there, you have to have somebody come over. They have the monster key ring,
which, of course,
doesn't open that. They have 75 keys and they try them all and they can't get it open.
Right, so they got to get a pry bar out.
It's really unbelievable.
And then they bring a team in. Shows up in a SWAT van.
Explosion expert. Do they lock up the Quattro, Ralph? I remember when you were hot on the Quattro for a while.
Yeah, the Quattro.
Oh,
that's
sure.
That's locked up.
That's all locked
everything,
up. Too.
Anything you shave yourself with is locked behind 4 inches of plexiglass.
Wow.
Yeah, it's odd. I've
Shaving
never understood
is
that.
Dangerous. I had no idea.
And this is even worse because usually it's a case with a lock on it. Every other store I've been to, and you got to get somebody like Kevin said to open it up for you. But this Save-On's trying to save you that step by putting this button that you push, which makes the razors drop into a slot, and then there's a drawer that you have to pull out, a plexiglass drawer, and the blades are supposed to be in there, but they get all jammed up on top of one another, and you're pushing the button and pushing the button. It's like the most frustrating thing on the planet.
So you can get them. Anyone can get them.
One at
they
a time.
Just make you.
Yeah, you have to jump through hoops.
If the mechanism is working, which it never is.
It's hard to find
a 527.
I'm at Save-On shaking the display case.
It's hard to find a single individual who is at fault most of the time with any topic. But I think Raul and Downey is our guy.
Really?
He's fault? The one because he's why they lock up the blades?
Raul?
Yeah. Well, it works like this. Like when I was a kid, I mean, I don't do it now, but you figure like the razor blades are actually pretty expensive, like $20 a pack, right? For like 18 refills.
Right.
Yeah. And we'd go in and you take a backpack and you'd steal everything possible. And this goes like with batteries. And if you notice, like there's other type of medicines that are also locked up that are expensive. And you go to swap meet and sell for half price and $500.
So you would steal the store's supply of razor blades and then take them and sell them at a swap meet.
Yeah, and then we go and buy drugs.
There you go.
Because you're a black market profiteer, that's why.
There you go. There's your guy, right?
I wouldn't think razor blades would be the big ticket item.
Yeah, I wouldn't
either. Yeah, but it was just something easy to steal. And, I mean, you take it to the swap meet. Go to the swap meet, and they have all that stuff for sale.
Plus, they are pretty
expensive. Just go to the swap meet, Ralph.
Plus, they are pretty expensive.
That's the place to buy them.
Yeah. Half price.
I know they're expensive, but it seems like there's more expensive, more like dangerous things in a drugstore that you would want to lift if you're trying to move, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I mean, a box of Dristan runs you $15. Why aren't they selling that at the swap meet? Hey, you got any half-price sinus medication?
Do we have a T-shirt for Raul for his effort?
Oh, good idea.
We do. Let me see if I can find my list.
Oh, I don't have my list.
All right, hang on, Raul. That's We're going to hook you up with a Shirt Still Hurts T-shirt.
So, pardon my my tangent, but I was just so furious when I got here this morning because I could not buy razor blades.
Well, that may be the answer. Maybe they're a high theft item. That may be what's going on.
Raul,
there.
You get a You Might Be a Redneck Fisherman If T-shirt. Congratulations. Hold on.
He's so happy he called.
Yes, he is. Rough day at the office for Brad Pitt. Apparently, he was at a movie premiere on Monday night. I guess it was The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Oh, yeah. So looking forward to
that. This film he's made, which is based on a short story about a guy who ages in reverse.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gets born real old and then gets younger as he gets towards the end of his life.
Got to be tough on relationships.
That does, yeah. Because yeah. You know,
it's got to sync up for like a week.
Passing people,
right?
Yeah, you know, you're born at 75 and you marry some old broad, and then about 20 years and you're feeling good at 55. You don't want to hang around with her, right?
Practically dead.
Yeah, that's what happened with Jennifer Aniston. Thought he got younger. So apparently he's got bodyguards, right?
Yeah.
And he's going through the crowd, and he got roughed up by his own bodyguard. Apparently the guy got a little overzealous and was trying to protect him from some fans and started grabbing Pitt and squeezing his arm really hard because he got caught up in the adrenaline and hurt Brad Pitt's arm.
Oh, really?
His own bodyguard hurt him.
Wow.
That guy should be protecting razor blades.
Yeah, no kidding.
Brad, of course, laughed it off, saying it's just another day in the life. But people thought it was kind of funny that his own bodyguard was responsible for roughing him up when they were trying to protect him.
Yeah.
You guys have seen the video of when President Reagan got shot, and the Secret Service guy just grabs him, just jams him into the car. I mean, just practically killed the man trying to get him away. I guess
Ronnie's like, hey, I'm shot here. You mind? How about a little gentleness?
First time I saw that, I was like, dude, Reagan's doing gay porn. This is odd.
I guess you just get the adrenaline going, and all you're thinking is, I've got to get my client away from these people. And you don't realize that you could be part of the problem.
Yeah. Speaking of Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston is finally speaking out about the fact that Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt got together on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Angelina admitted that, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's Jennifer Aniston has kept her mouth shut about this whole thing for a long time. But Angela just recently said, yes, we did hook up on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. After denying it for years, saying, no, we were just friends until he left Jennifer. And that's when we started our relationship. But no, they were banging on the set. So now Jennifer Aniston has given a scathing interview to Vogue magazine, apparently, where Jennifer tells the reporter that the fact that Angelina helped herself to her husband while filming Mr. and Mrs. Smith was, in her words, very uncool. Wow, that is
She's
scathing.
She's bringing it.
Yeah. She should tone down that rhetoric right now because that will get you into trouble, Missy.
I am definitely not cool!
You'll be hearing from her lawyers.
Is there going to come a time where this story has run its course?
Doesn't seem like it.
Because hasn't there been more magazine articles and TV stories and everything about
it? I was just thinking that. I feel bad for Jennifer because, seriously, she just wants to move on, I'm sure, and be done with this. Yeah. And stuff
She's
keeps
She's been with a half
up.
A dozen guys in relationships since that marriage, but they don't seem to carry any weight.
No.
Yeah.
Look, Angelina and Brad Pitt are the king and queen of Hollywood. They are like the glamour
Here's
couple.
Here's what's funny, though. When Meg Ryan hooked up with Russell Crowe, when she was still married,
she was
damned
vilified.
Her.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing sticking to Angelina.
It's true.
No. But maybe when you look at Brad, you go.
There are a few things.
These are speaking of things I like to stick to Angelina. And more hookup news. Lindsay Lohan says she hooked up with Justin Timberlake while Justin's girlfriend Jessica Biel was in England filming a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a bitchy thing to do.
Where's that sex tape?
According to Star Magazine, Jessica Biel was filming a movie, and Lindsay called up Timberlake and invited her over to her house for a get-together, and according to the story, had a romp with him on the couch in her living room.
Yes. He knocked on the door, and she opened it, and he said, hey, where is everybody?
And she said, right in my vagina.
They're coming later.
That's where they are. I got an Evite for you from my vagina.
Yeah!
Check yes.
She opened it.
Yes, and he opened it.
And responded in the positive.
And Justin, of course, is denying the story, but this is all coming from Star Magazine.
Because he's still with Jessica Biel,
yes.
right?
Yes, well, he would like
he
to
was?
Be.
Yeah,
he'd
Until
like to
today?
Be. So he's fighting that.
Wow.
Lindsay Lohan does herself no favors when she gives interviews, by the way.
She really doesn't.
She has to regret every time she opens her mouth.
I mean,
we know
what you mean.
Today's celebrities, these are stars born on November the 12th. Singer Neil Young, Kevin's favorite all-time rock singer Neil Young, is 63 years old today.
Does not have a good voice.
Hey, my.
He has an expressive voice.
Rock and roll will never die.
If he had to go through American Idol, he would be part of the really bad
singers. He would be
singers.
The first episode. He would be the laughing auditions, absolutely.
Well, not everyone is designed for that sort of program.
Not everyone is designed to sing. Neil Young is one of them. Stop it. 63-year-old Neil Young. Megan Mullally from Will & Grace is 50 years old today. Ryan Gosling, star of The Notebook and many feature films, is 28. Anne Hathaway, Princess Diaries and Get Smart, 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We have a new afternoon program here on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde, which means we're on from 5 until 6 in the afternoon, and we have been giving you Metallica tickets today. We also have more. We have more Metallica tickets for you to give away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
We have too much paperwork is what we have.
Too many papers!
Because we also have Coldplay tickets, it looks like, for this afternoon as well. So we're just trying to keep everything straight and continue to give you all the good stuff. But that'll be between 5 and 6. In fact, I'm glad you joined us in here, Ralph, because we need some follow-up on the conversation that started on the afternoon show yesterday.
What's that?
Well, it was the fear that is struck into the hearts of people who work here when they receive an Evite from you.
Listen.
Dave, the King of Mexico, described it as the ring. Remember when, if you see the ring, you will die. That's the feeling, the flush feeling that comes over people when they see an Evite from Ralph.
Good people have nothing to fear from me. I'm like Batman. You know, the innocent need not fear me. However, evildoers, beware, because I will descend from the darkness.
Or normal people who have things to figure out in their life before they can respond. Those people also have to be very afraid.
That's correct.
How long does it take those people to figure out whether they're available or not on one day of the year?
Maybe they got
Are these retarded people we're talking about?
Some of us.
Yeah, I know. Kevin and I always give a certain amount of time to because I understand it's complex.
The beautiful thing about Evites, though, beautiful or hideous, is that Ralph can tell if Lisa opens it on what day and at what time. So he knows she looked at it.
And As the host, I can tell when the emails opened.
That was news to all of us. None of us knew you could do that until last year when Ralph started screaming at us for opening them and not responding.
He would say, you opened the Evite 2 weeks ago. How long does it take for you to figure it out? And everybody's like, oh, man.
Reasonable question. I think that's a reasonable question.
Let me ask this question, and maybe we'll get some help from the listeners on this topic, too, because I'm sure you're going to have an opinion you want to weigh in with. Or you've got your own Evite horror stories. But 1-800-520-1067 is the number. I don't understand why people think it's outrageous that Ralph wants to know whether you're coming to his party or not. And he's inviting all of us to the party because we're friends of his. And it seems like that's the type of party that everybody would want to go to. That they would say, well, I don't know what I got going on in December, but I like Ralph and I have a good time at his party. So I'm going to go ahead and check yes because that's something I'd like to accomplish.
Well, you don't want to check yes and not show up. That's the rudest, I think, right?
I agree. That would be rude.
So you really don't want to do that. And it is, as Alex pointed out yesterday, a very busy time of the year in terms of just family gatherings and just all kinds of things are going on.
Which is why we sent the invitation out a month in advance because we figured this gives people, you know, plenty of warning. This isn't a last-minute thing we're asking you to, you know, put aside other plans or whatever. People by now should have an idea whether they've already been invited to a party on that date or whether that date is open. That's the question it really comes down to.
I think Ralph gets annoyed because he gets the feeling that people are just going to hold it open and wait for better options.
That's the only reason people don't answer, Kevin. I'm telling you, that's the only reason someone would have for not answering. Because I don't care who you are. You could be President-elect Obama. There's someone who's got a calendar someplace who can look at that date and say, nope, that's free. Feel free to check yes, Barack.
Well.
But no,
I guarantee
these people
it.
Are like, oh no, what if I got I got issues and things, and oh maybe there I could have. What about work? I heard there's a big meteor coming, and I might have to be in a bunker. Come on, there's no reason not to know a month in advance whether you have that day available or not. And it's not a thing where I'm going to take it personally if you check no. If you've got other plans on that date, you've already accepted an invitation to a party, or your family's in town, just say no. I get that. But when you're planning a party, especially at your home, and you got to buy food for a certain number of people, and you got to buy booze for a certain number of people, and you have to make preparations, you really need to have some idea about who's coming.
Here's what gets me about you. Alex had a great idea yesterday, which is, and many invitations have a please respond by date, and you refuse to do that. Now, you know
that I refused to do that. I didn't think to do it because I assume.
But yesterday you said, I shouldn't have to do that. It's a great idea. It gets everybody off the hook. Everybody knows when they have to respond. You know when you need to have your number set.
Because it would look more ridiculous for him to put, if you don't respond within 30 seconds, I hate you. I mean, that's not really how you want to write it.
I think it's a great solution.
why does that need to be said, Lisa?
Why are you afraid to do it?
Why can't, well, because I didn't think of it, but why can't people just open it up and say, oh, this date? Let's see. I like that guy. That sounds like a fun party. I'm going to find out whether I can go or not.
I don't know, but...
Evite has turned the art of the response into the simplest possible procedure.
Yes.
It used to be you had to get something in the mail, and then you had to fill it out, and you had to mail it back, or you'd get a phone call, someone would leave you a message, you had to call that person back. It took a lot of effort to RSVP to an event. Evite has distilled it down to its most simple form. Unless I can go inside your mind and just telepathically read whether you want to come to my party or not, nothing could be simpler.
I got to tell you,
clicking a box with a mouse.
I got to tell you, my wife throws a lot of parties, and she's always frustrated by people who don't RSVP, which is a majority. It is
the majority.
It's a majority of people.
Blows me away.
Just go, well, you know, I'm not going to let them know I'll plan to go or not, but they won't actually RSVP. But now it has gotten so much easier. But it's also given the Eviter a little too much power, and I want to know how to get around it. I want to know how I can look at it and not let Ralph know I looked at it. I need that information.
You need to hack into the Evite website.
I want
to
hack the Evite system.
So people here were not opening the email for fear that I would see they read the invitation
that's
and
correct.
Did not respond.
They all looked over my shoulder when I opened it
it's
to check
madness.
The date. There's a process. I don't understand what it is, but I get invitations to plays, and I don't respond right away, and I look at the date of when I have to respond, and I usually do it a couple of days before that.
What,
I don't
what
know
is
why.
That?
There's
what
some process. I have to be in the right place
to do it.
It's
called brain damage. That's the process. You have something wrong with you.
And I'd also like to suggest that when it comes to plays, your answer is always yes. What's
true.
The point of waiting?
You know you're going to say yes.
All right, let's go to Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Good morning, guys.
In Covina.
First of all, most of the time, I hate your comments. I really do. But on this one, I gotta agree with you 100%. Guys, 25% of the time before the party is to be held, you respond, yes or no?
25% of the time, what?
Yeah. Look,
meaning if the invitation is a month out, you're supposed to wait
within a week.
A week or something? Is that what you mean?
A week is a reasonable amount of time.
Not with Ralph. Now, I'm telling you, if you look at that Evite, he will be knocking on your door like a minute and a half later.
Yeah, but Ralph can be retarded sometimes.
Yes, I can, but not in this case, right, Eric?
But if you say yes, and for some reason something comes up, you can't make it, look, you simply give the host a call and say, look, I'm sorry, I know I was planning on coming, something came up, can't make it.
Right, which is worse?
Doesn't seem that hard, does it, Eric?
Is it worse to say yes and then not show, or is it worse to not say or say no and then show?
Let me
tell you something.
Oh, I see, okay.
Look, if you guys, if somebody tells me they're coming to my party and then they don't show up without giving me a courtesy call,
you kill them.
They don't ever get an invite to my house ever again.
Oh,
and I'm the Evite Nazi.
You have a brother in arms, Ralph.
God bless you, Eric, for seeing the right and wrong in this situation.
Care, Ralph.
All right, buddy.
It's everything else you say, but
simple human decency is what it comes down to.
There's also one other thing that is very funny about this, because with the Evite, there's a yes column.
Yes.
And you can leave a message, excited to be there, whatever. Right. Then there's a no column. And
so
there's
you can't be here. I'm going to be out of town. Sorry, buddy. Wish I could be there.
And then there's the dreaded maybe column.
Oh, that thing.
Brian in Cyprus. Good morning.
How you doing today?
Good, thanks.
What's up, Brian?
Lisa May.
Hi.
I hate that frickin' maybe comment because every time I put a Evite out, you get two or three people that respond maybe, and then they wait till the last minute to tell you yes or no.
Yeah, the maybe thing is totally bogus. You're absolutely right. It's pointless.
But the maybe people are very close. They're in bed with the people who wait as long as possible to respond because they're waiting for a better offer. And that's the only reason that people wait day after day, week after week.
Yeah. I'm not asking you to sign up for elective surgery here. I'm asking you, can I give you free booze and feed you? That's what I'm offering you. If you're not sure you can commit to that horror or not, then go F yourself. I'm asking you to come to my house. I'm going to ply you with free booze and give you good food and music. Oh, jeez. I don't know. I don't know if I'm up for that or not.
But what if, say, you get in a car accident that day or something happens bad? You got to have your options.
I might have a car accident
right,
that
you
day.
Never know.
Then say yes, but say keep in mind I might be in a car wreck
okay.
the day
right.
of your party.
Thank you, Brian. Right.
We need to take a break. I'm glad people are calling, but we still haven't found the answer to Kevin's question, which is how can he open the Evite and look at it and then patch it up so it doesn't appear as if he's looked at
you
it? That's
can,
really what you
can
want to find out, right?
Everything online. Everything.
There must be a way.
So there's got to be a way for that. Plus, we got some other people that agree with Ralph, and we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-106.
What's the date of the party?
Let me see.
Do you have that handy?
Do I have it? It's
December 5th.
It's the 6th.
December 6th.
It's 7.
So ask your wife if you can go, Kevin, and then respond.
You know Kevin's schedule is plotted out for the next 12 months. You know there's not
Absolutely.
A spare minute.
And here's my thing about that. People say, oh, you know, it's a busy time of year. The busiest people I know are the ones who know most what their schedule is. Because they're so busy,
they have to
sort of coordinate everything and know exactly what's coming up in the next couple of weeks in order for them just to get through their life. They have to have things mapped out. So those really busy people absolutely know whether they're available or not that night. And I have a hard time believing that Dave, the King of Mexico, can't figure out whether or not he's available a month from now.
A month? In Dave's fantasy imagination land, he's convinced that Kristen Bell may call him with a last-minute holiday invite that he may want to go to instead.
Akon might ask him to roll with him in the tour bus, but that probably won't happen. He's probably safe checking yes.
Yes. It's probably the best offer he's going to get.
That's what I'm saying.
The Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. Let's talk to Veronica real quick. She's on line one calling from Los Angeles. If you're just joining us, there has been a little bit of a brouhaha here at K-Rock because Ralph sent out an Evite for his holiday party. Everybody has looked at it. Most people still haven't responded whether they're coming or not. And he's saying, hey, what up? Veronica, you're in a similar situation. Am I right?
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. So you're having a party. You sent out an Evite?
Yes. And nobody has responded.
How many did you send out?
Probably sent out like 75, and out of 75, I got like 4 maybe.
4
like
responses?
You are very unpopular.
People just
That's
don't
brutal.
Like you.
It's you, Veronica.
Now the,
me, it's not me. I'm very nice.
Now the evil part of the Evite, nice. The evil part of the Evite is that you can tell how many people looked. How many out of those 75 have looked at it?
I'd say about 3/4 of them. And everyone's just being mean. Everyone's just whatever.
Well, you can be nice and throw crappy parties. How are your parties?
Amazing. It's going to be an amazing party. That's the
With
thing.
You and
Yeah, all 5 of you will have a great time.
If it's on December 6th, I'm available.
Veronica,
Kevin's looking for a better deal.
Do you get the impression that people are not responding because they're holding out hope that something else will come up the night of your party that they would rather go to?
No, I think they just look at it and they're like, oh, I'll probably end up going, but I don't really need to write this down right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think it should be taken that personally. I mean, I don't know.
It's not a slight. It's not an insult. It's just sort of inconsiderate because I think the people who are looking at the Evite don't realize that it does make a difference if you know how many people are coming to your party regarding, you know, how many pizzas you buy or whatever you're planning on doing. You need to have some sort of number.
Pizza. All right. I'm helping make up my mind. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that.
We got some great suggestions on how to open the Evite and not have people know it. Why don't we start with Nick in Santa Monica? He's on line 4. This is suggestion number 1 and see if you like this one, Kevin.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. What I do is I forward it to another email and then I open it there. And that way it's not the same email that's registered with the website. And open it and they won't know.
That is brilliant.
So you forward it to another of your own email addresses, then you can open it.
Yeah, and I did it before because I heard about Ralph Moran and I got scared of my friend for a party. And so I did it and he never knew. And he said yes like the day before.
Brilliant.
That's a fantastic idea.
It's not a fantastic idea. You're aiding and abetting the enemy here.
I know. It's okay. I'm all right.
Isn't it true that Nick can't say no?
No. I mean, isn't that part of...
Isn't that part of how things work?
Don't take advice on how to skirt the system. That's making things worse.
But
this
Ralph,
guy said yes the day before.
All right, let's go to Anthony and Honey.
You're like Nazi party, collaborators though. In the 30s. You're helping the wrong side here by publicizing these tactics.
For your next party, Ralph, you're going to be walking around 48 hours before the party, you're going to be going, I don't know what's going on. I sent the invite out a month ago. Nobody has looked
at
it.
I've got one bottle of vodka and some canapes.
Anthony in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
So there's a preview
propane option that you can have open to where it opens a second window, and you can actually look at emails without anyone knowing you ever opened it because you actually didn't open it.
A preview pane
on the Evite, huh?
Where's the preview pane?
There's an option tab, and there's a preview pane that you can check off. And I learned this two ways. First off, there was a guy from work that kept sending me nudie pictures that I wasn't supposed to open. And when you preview it this way, it doesn't show up. And then secondly, of course, the boss asking for meetings on Friday just before time to go home. It's like, I never got your email. Sorry, bubs.
Okay, you're talking about something in your email system. You're not talking about opening the Evite, though.
This is a general email thing for you.
General email thing, yeah.
Yeah, this is a general email, so you can preview any of these things without ever actually opening them.
I don't think that's going to work for what we're talking about. No. I think you need to get inside the Evite to see the specifics of the party, unfortunately.
You do have to
click on the link.
At Ralph's Evite, and I don't
because
see
I don't think
like
it shows
that.
Up as an email. You have to actually click into the Evite.com website in order to the invitation.
Oh.
So it registers the fact that you've entered the website.
All right, so that's bogus then.
Yeah. Okay.
So just forward it to a Hotmail account or something, Kevin. That's clearly the answer. That's what we'll take away from today's story.
The answer is make up your mind, yes or no, and just tell the person. That's the answer.
Might need a little time.
No time!
Just a little bit, just to figure it out.
48 hours.
We're busy. We have a lot going on.
You don't have anything going on.
Well, there's that. But, I mean, other than that.
A lot.
Jam-packed.
Yes.
You know? So
busy.
We'll get to it when we can.
Hate you all.
I heard this really funny version of that song. And
nope. No, you didn't.
I didn't?
There's no parody version of that song that involves poop, that's for sure. And if there were, you wouldn't hear it on this show. Mm. It's the Kevin Amine Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Talking about Shirts Till It Hurts, this is our new charity campaign because, frankly, the radio station is out of money and you still want T-shirts. In fact, we've already given away some on the show here this morning. So basically, we're taking the K-Rock listener T-shirts. They drop them off to us. We turn around and give them right back to you. That's how it works.
These difficult economic times are affecting everyone, and K-Rock is no exception. Through the years, K-Rock has been known to give away some exciting prizes. Most famously, our enormously popular, world-famous K-Rock T-shirts. But now, sadly, K-Rock is too f***ing cheap to make any more T-shirts. That's why we have to come to you. Can you let one fellow K-Rock listener go T-shirtless while you have many used, smelly, crappy T-shirts sitting in the bottom of your drawer? Please donate to the Kevin and Bean Show's Shirts Till It Hurts program. You give us your old crappy shirts, and we give them to someone else. So please, give today. Give till it hurts, or squirts, depending on who you are.
I followed your lead, Kevin, and went through my closet and pulled out about a dozen T-shirts that I'm willing to donate to the cause, and packed them all up in a box to mail them in so that we'd have them to give away to our listeners. And yesterday was Veterans Day, so the post office was closed, so I couldn't send them off. And I was furious because stupid veterans have done nothing for us, yet they take away my ability to mail something that's important.
I'm guessing you're misreading veterans.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be there by the weekend, and you'll be able to have some of my shirts to add to the list. But we got some good ones so far.
We do. We've got a bunch of shirts. We're going to turn around and give them to you. Most of them don't say K-Rock on them, but, you know, you get a Sharpie. You can add
just
that.
Just write it right
sure.
on there.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be very nice. Let's go to Beer Mug, who's on location again today. Good morning, Mugs.
Hey, guys. You know, I like that public service announcement, but I think you guys need a Shirts Till It Hurts song.
A Shirts Till It Hurts song?
Maybe. Yeah, is somebody angling for that job, Beer Mug? Is that what I hear here?
Yeah, hey, I'll put one together.
Okay.
You have been getting some terrific donations out on the street this week all over Southern California. And frankly, I'm a little surprised that we still have the Cher 99 Do You Believe in Tour shirt that we haven't given away yet. We still have the I Love Vagina t-shirt. That one's still up for grabs. I don't think you've given away the I'm Rick James Bitch shirt either.
Oh, wow.
No, that's true. That's still in the group. We also have the baseball tee. On the back, it says Team Hora, WHORA, the number 69. And on the front, it's got a V-neck cut that's pretty low.
I like it.
Yeah. That's the one Beer Mugs is trying to take home. He keeps, I want to go here with this. Tell people where you are today, Mugs.
We are at 18545 Main Street in Huntington Beach, located, we're standing right in front of the Tillys. We have the tent set up, the big box truck, and the K-Rock Escalade. You know, we have an Escalade
We can't afford shirts, but we have an Escalade. I don't understand it.
That is a good point.
It's at Five Points Plaza, and it's Tilly's, and you're going to be there from now till about 9 o'clock this morning. So anyone in that area, if you would be so kind as to go through your closet or your drawers or whatever and go through and find the ridiculous shirts that you still have and won't wear.
Something you've probably been meaning to do anyway.
Sure. Yeah. It's a good thing to do every once in a while anyway.
Absolutely.
And give us your crappy shirts, and then we will turn around and give them to listeners as if they're good.
We're kind of like Goodwill, don't you think?
Sure we are.
And again, though, Mug, people who stop by, they're doing it for charity. I mean, they get nothing in return, right?
We give them the smiles off of our faces.
You actually hand them the smile off your face?
I show it. More like show it, yeah.
And if they're dudes, you'll give them a kiss on the lips.
Exactly.
All right, good. Glad to hear it. So Muggs is going to be down there all day right in front of Tilly's, Five Points Plaza in Huntington Beach. And if you can help us out with some T-shirts for the Kevin and Bean Shirts Till It Hurts charity campaign, we would appreciate it, as would the listeners who are going to receive them. So far, they've been overjoyed.
Is that what you
heard? Is that an accurate statement? The people who have received these shirts, it made their lives.
They're beside themselves.
Yes. Or they were mildly amused. Yeah. So either way, stop by Beer Mug, drop that stuff off. Thanks, Muggs. We'll talk to you a little bit later this morning. All right, man.
Bye.
Bye. Tonight, it's survival of the fittest. For the first time anywhere, it's man versus beast.
What animal is trying to kill K-Rock's Kevin? We'll explain coming up after the news at 7 and get the update on what happened this morning out in front of his house. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, 6:51, Wednesday morning.
Just a quick follow-up on my rant about razor blades.
Yes.
This came from listener Bradford. Ralph, just thought you'd want to know I work for a grocery store, and the caller was right. Before the Kevlar vending machine from hell was installed, razor blades were the number two item of theft in drug and grocery stores.
Really?
Coming in a distant second to the number one item, baby formula. That stuff is $20 to $30 a can, and it's also sold at swap meets at half price.
No kidding.
A good day, Bradford. Wow. So that's why we need the Kevlar vending machine, because people steal razor blades, those bastards.
I would only buy baby formula at a swap meet, by the way. I would never trust it to a retail outlet.
That's where the high-quality stuff
well,
is.
Well, it's canned, so I guess if you're buying a name brand, it's safe because it's, you know, it's in a can, but still.
When I used to work retail at drugstores, condoms were the number one stolen item.
When did you ever work retail at drugstores?
I did it for a number of years.
Can you imagine how
I wasn't always a radio superstar, Ralph. You know that.
Can you imagine going up to Bean? Hey, where's
what? Where's what?
I can't imagine that. Least helpful guy ever at any store.
He'd tell you some kind of ridiculous information about the item you're buying.
Unless you wanted something on a high shelf. I can't see how he'd come in handy.
I just...
who created the battery, right? No, I just want to buy double A's.
Do you think Thomas Edison improved the battery when he added copper?
I remember one time I got in trouble. I was working, I was assisting in the pharmacy. And, they left the kids. And this is true today. Go get a prescription filled at a Save-On or something like that. They have a teenager who's counting out the pills. I mean, that's one of the jobs that the pharmacist is too busy to do, right? And I used to, every time the chicks would come in for their birth control pills, I was always like... And
wow.
They had a very strong talking to with me about being professional, regardless of what the prescription was for. Just treat it like anything else.
Because Bean was swapping them out with Tic Tacs. Yeah. That's why. I got into trouble.
Good times.
And selling them at a swap meet.
Paul Abdul killed a woman.
Yeah.
What?
Dude, what are you talking about?
On TV.
What are you talking about?
A dead woman was found outside Paul Abdul's house.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Dead in a car yards from Paula's L.A. home. They think the cause of death may have been a drug overdose, but apparently police sources say they think the victim is an alleged Paula Abdul stalker.
Dude.
Cops have been to the house numerous times before, according to the LAPD, to deal with this woman. Paula's people tell us they know who the woman is, says TMZ.com, and Paula killed her.
I don't...
They said that?
I don't think that's part of the story.
But it's a much better story that way.
Yeah.
Paula snuck out to the car while the woman was in there. Filled her up with drugs, then went back in the house, waited for her to OD.
I don't think that's...
Fiendishly clever, Paul Abdul, but I'm on to you.
Case at all.
I don't think Paul Abdul is a likely candidate to mastermind a perfect murder.
She doesn't mastermind anything.
I don't think she's a candidate for someone to be a stalker. I mean, how far down on the list are you going to celebrities when you're stalking her?
I heard Paula just forced the woman to view the opposites attract video over and over again until she took her own life. That's what I heard.
It's kind of sad.
One step forward, two steps back. Red Hot Chili Peppers lead singer Anthony Kiedis is working on a new series for HBO. And it sounds fascinating.
Really?
It better be called Californication. already on there.
Variety says that the show will be called Scar Tissue, and it'll be a fictionalized version of Anthony's relationship with his father, Spider, who legend has it sold drugs to rock bands like The Who and Zeppelin back in the day while trying to get into show business.
Really?
That sounds fascinating.
That does sound fascinating.
Well, the dude's had a fascinating life.
Anthony, is there a lot of pain there, or what's your feeling?
Macaroon smack dab wiggity whack wong.
Yeah, you can hear the pain in his voice.
Brings it into sharp focus. Thank you, Anthony.
Just when you think thought
and
take two. Just when you thought things couldn't get any worse. Remember that How I Met Your Mother episode that Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag are going to be on?
Yes.
Kim Kardashian has just joined the cast.
Good day.
That episode.
The same episode.
The same episode.
Are they just throwing everything at it?
Apparently they are.
What the hell?
They will all be playing magazine cover versions of themselves, says a representative for CBS. I guess they'll be playing up their images. I guess that's what they mean. So Spencer will be especially douchey and...
Wow, how's he going to pull that off?
Kim will be especially booty.
Yeah.
But that sounds bad.
Their ratings do spike, though, when they do stuff like
that
when Britney was on.
I know.
Great ratings.
I, however, will not be among them, Lisa May.
I honor you for that.
Thank you, ma'am. You know those not just another teen movies or not another disaster movie or not another that chain of movies?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, finally, the snake has eaten its own tail.
Pam Anderson?
Hollywood Reporter says that a new movie called Not Another Movie is being made.
Oh, come on.
It's going to be a spoof of all the spoof movies. That's what I'm thinking.
How do you spoof a spoof?
I'm perplexed, as are you, Kevin.
That doesn't sound possible.
I bet it'll be good.
I think the cast is going to save it, Lisa. Not Another Movie, Hollywood Reporter says, will star Chevy Chase, Burt Reynolds, and stuttering John Melendez.
Their movies are stupid and their lives are a mess.
Wow. That is a cast.
Yeah.
Somehow you got to see that, right?
I don't know.
I don't know if my heart can take it.
Just to see Burt Reynolds' windblown face?
Maybe. Might be bad enough to come back around to be interesting.
Maybe.
Wow.
Let's take a horrible concept and cast the least funny people we can find.
Oh, my God.
Green light.
I want a good movie.
This sounds like it comes from the Kevin Ryder production studios.
How dare you?
Worst movie ever with the worst actors ever.
What happened to Chevy Chase, Ralph? There was a guy who was a tremendous comic actor for a while.
So funny.
Yeah.
If you
so
read
funny.
The Vacation movies or
Fletch movies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn, was he funny. Foul Play with Goldie Hawn, funny in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just right off the rails.
Yep.
And then he did that talk show, remember? That was just unwatchable.
Was that was horrific. Akon has announced that he wants to act.
Okay.
No surprise there. A lot of singers become actors.
Sure.
He says his dream role is to play James Bond in a 007 movie and thinks Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls would be the perfect Bond girl for him.
Push on, black man, push on.
Okay, let's stop having the celebrity wish list, shall we? Everyone's just announced Beyonce stands up. I'd like to be Wonder Woman. Oh, I'd like to be James Bond over here. Just stop it. Stop it, celebrities.
We'll call you.
Yeah. Unless there's something going on where you're close to a deal. I don't need to. I'd like to be made out of chocolate. I'd like it to rain gumdrops. Let's all just stop raising our hand and announcing our wish list. Because then people make it a story and then I need to read it. So
I wonder if if it's the after effect of President-elect Obama that now Beyonce says got to have a black Wonder Woman, Akon says got to have a black James Bond. I mean, I wonder if that's where we're headed.
Yep, they're taking over, man.
Can't a white guy get a job?
How about a white?
Come on, why does it always have to be a racial thing with you blacks?
How can white people be in movies?
That's what I'm saying.
And lastly, in another film-related story, Hussein Kalkan.
Okay.
The mayor of the Turkish city of Batman,
dear God,
has filed a suit against Warner Brothers. He wants a portion of the royalties from The Dark Knight, which is about to pass the $1 billion mark at the box office.
Because he's the mayor of a town
called
named Batman.
Which doesn't mean, it's a different language. The letters just happen to sync up. It doesn't have anything to do with Batman, the comic book character, right?
No, it has nothing to do with that. Mayor Hussein Kalkan says to Daily Variety newspaper, there's only one Batman in the world. The American producers used the name of our city without informing us.
Did he just hear about this movie?
Well, apparently there's this character called Batman. I don't know where it came from, but it's pretty new, and now we want a piece of it.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. I'm Batman, pictures!
He says it's a problem when someone from the city tries to do business overseas.
Yeah.
They've ruined they've ruined the name of Batman.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Hi, I'm calling you from Batman. Sure you are, pal. Okay. Yeah. He says there's a number of unresolved murders and high female suicide rate in his city, which he attributes to the movie franchise.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Yeah, it's...
It's the movie's fault? People are killing themselves?
It's a great, great lawsuit. It's my favorite lawsuit ever. So, yeah, the mayor of Batman wants a piece of Darkman. And I think he deserves it.
Why not?
Why not, indeed. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Neil Young is 63 years old today. Let's stop calling him singer, shall we? Neil Young is 63 years old today.
How dare you?
You could even love his songwriting.
Absolutely.
I do.
But you can't call him a singer.
I think his voice is appropriate for the songs that he sings. I mean, he comes from a very unique place.
That is just the biggest tap dance ever. There's a guy who knows he blows, but can't bring himself to admit it.
But I still love his songs.
You love his songs
voice.
That he wrote.
And that he sings, too. He has a lot of great songs that he sings. Could they perhaps be sung by somebody else? It'd be a little more palatable to most people? Yes, certainly.
That's as close as he's going to get, we'll take it.
Keep on rocking in the free world.
He is a little Bingenheimer-esque.
Bingenheimer-esque, by
Rodney's dad.
Megan Mullally's 50 years old today. Ryan Gosling turns 28. And Anne Hathaway of Get Smart, The Princess Diaries, Devil Wears Prada, 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 7 o'clock. A little bit later on this hour, we have LaQuisha talking about Paris Hilton's My New BFF.
Awesome.
Plus, in the 8 o'clock hour, our old friend Ed Begley Jr. will be here tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about funny man Kevin Nealon and Seth Green?
Seth Green.
Wow, dude. Right now, though, apparently Mother Nature is trying to kill K-Rock's Kevin.
Gotta tell you, possum has it for me. It's an evil possum. I can see evil in its eyes. When I look at its eyes, I make contact with the eyes, I see the devil.
Hmm. Do they glow red?
They do.
We had a bunch of listeners yesterday telling us, Kevin, that maybe perhaps you overreacted to a harmless rodent in your yard.
Sure,
and that possums are in no way aggressive and can't hurt you, is what a lot of them were suggesting.
Oh, sure.
And
that's...
have terrible eyesight and
couldn't
really see you.
Here's what happened. Here's the short version of the story. For those of you that already heard it, I apologize. But if this is new to it, you need to hear it. In my driveway, I was just about to leave in the morning. Mm-hmm. There was a possum. It was staring at me. So I hissed at it to try and get it to go away. It didn't. So I took a step toward it to make it go away. Didn't. Now I'm getting scared. It's just staring me down. I grab a box and throw it at it. Miss it, but it's a pretty big box. It doesn't even budge. It doesn't move. It doesn't flinch.
It's like you never threw
it. It's just looking at me like, yeah, and?
What else you got?
So now I'm getting scared. So I jump in my car and I start it and I look in the rearview mirror, still there. So I step on the gas in reverse and hit my brakes. I don't want to run over it, but I want to scare it out of the way.
And by the way, the only reason you don't want to run over it is you don't want to get anything on your tires, right?
That's true, yeah, pretty much. and it still didn't move. So I got out of my car and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then it just kind of looked at me and just went, all right, you know what? I'd like to walk away now. So I'm going to walk away.
But you're going to be the bigger man.
But that's what it was saying. But it's not because anything you did. I want you to know that. It said that to me in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it walked away when it was ready.
Wow.
And this is by the way, the second time I've run into this possum. This possum is possessed by Satan. A woman called yesterday. She was very upset at me. She said that she was angry because I was spreading lies about possums.
Yeah, she had a friend who beat a possum to death with a shovel because she thought it was aggressive and going to hurt people. And apparently they don't. And so don't beat them to death.
Note, get shoveled.
No.
Don't get shoveled. Don't beat them to death.
Don't
get shoveled.
Sweep it away.
Oh, yeah. That's going to happen.
Work.
We need some advice for Kevin on how to handle his possum problem. And also we need to find out if possum are actually harmless, as many listeners suggested yesterday, or if you have stories of encounters with possum where perhaps they won, where perhaps you lost.
I have a line on some holy water. I'm getting that.
They're not, today. I think I'm supposed to get a vial of that today.
They're not vampires, Kevin. They're just possums.
What do you think? If you throw holy water on it, it'll start to burn?
Yes, of course. Just like if the sunlight hits their skin, they melt.
Again, you're talking about vampires. They're super common in Southern California, though. I mean, almost everyone sees possums from time to time.
Okay, but this one really is taunting me.
Right, but how often do you ever hear about anyone getting attacked or anyone getting, you know, beat up by one? I mean, it seems like it's kind of in your mind a little bit.
How often do I know people who get hit by a bolt of lightning? Never. You know, happens. Happens all the time. It's because I don't know.
Let's talk to Fred. Apparently, he has had a possum encounter that he would like to share with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Fred. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What happened, dude?
Okay, evil in its eyes is all I have to say. You said the key word.
Evil in its eyes. That's right.
This was many years ago. I was actually in a hot tub by myself. I had a bottle of wine open. It was really late. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. I smoked weed at the time, so I was definitely a little baked. And I look up at... I hear like some rustling up in the like in the canopy around the hot tub. I look up and I just see blood red eyes.
That's right. You know why they're blood red? They feast on human blood. A lot of people don't know that.
Or so they can see in the dark.
Eyes were staring into my soul.
Right. That's exactly right.
Absolute evil, registering no fear. Okay, blood red. And gradually, as I stand there, like I freak out and I'm about to try to run away. I realize, though, that I've lost the upper hand in the situation. Mm-hmm. I'm not in control.
Right.
This thing starts to, like, come up and over the canopy towards me.
Right.
Like, it starts to literally charge me, okay?
Charge you?
Oh, how about that?
Like
hey,
a
Bean,
mile an hour?
Hey, Bean, I do know a guy who actually has been attacked by a possum.
And his name is Fred.
His name is Fred.
Looked like he was going to jump right into the hot tub with me, so I'm starting to like turn the, to the side to seriously jump out, and I am covered in an instant in stinky, disgusting anal leakage from this possum.
Oh,
that does happen to possums, by the way.
And that was just from you being so scared.
No,
that didn't have anything to do with the animal.
Drained the hot tub. It was a mess.
Now, did it attack?
It did. It sprayed me. I mean, I didn't even see it coming. I didn't hear it coming. But it was like head to toe coated in this stuff. And
right.
It got all over everything I had with me.
Being coated from head to toe.
No.
Gene Simmons, hold on. We're talking about something.
Speaking of that, I'm sorry.
What about two questions for you, Fred. First of all, what about your stash? Was that damaged?
It was damaged, yes. I managed to salvage about half of it, but I had to throw away a lot of it.
Oh, that's rough. That's a tragic end to that story.
That is a tragic end.
And secondly, I didn't know that this was something that the possum had in its arsenal, like a skunk. I didn't know they had that kind of offense where they could spray you with something like that. What happened after that? Did you get up and run away, or did he run away after he served you?
Oh, I ran away. I couldn't tell. He could still be in that hot tub today. I have no idea.
You never went back.
I never got back. But I had to, like, shave my head. I had to throw everything away that I had. I had to wake up my dad at 3 o'clock in the morning to find the clippers to shave my head and to just help me out. It was really bad.
Wow.
It was an attack.
So in your professional opinion as a guy with experience, Kevin is handling this one properly then. He should really be concerned about this evil possum.
You close your eyes and you back right over that thing next time you see it.
Oh,
because I'm telling you.
No.
A lot of people are going to say, hey, that's mean, but I'm telling you, when a possum looks into your soul and it tells you
I have no remorse.
Telepathically that it is that you are its, you're its property.
Yes.
It's a different thing.
It is him or you at that point.
Yep.
You do have a family. Fred, I'm glad you called. Hang on. We're going to hook you up with the I Love Vagina t-shirt. I think your story has owned it, okay?
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Wear that with pride.
Let's go to Ken in Santa Ana. Good morning, Ken.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Lisa May, you were great last night.
Wow.
Thank you, Ken. So are
cool.
You.
Yeah, well, you know, Lisa. She's my favorite.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, possums, they play possum, Kevin.
Yeah, I know, but there's a difference. But there's a difference between playing possum and, I mean, I threw a box that was like 1 foot by 1 foot that missed it maybe by a half an inch. It didn't even flinch.
I do the same thing. I got them in my backyard, and I get up early. I'm in construction. I'm out the door by 4:30.
See, that's about the time they have to go into the ground to sleep for the day, so they don't get burned up by sunlight.
They're not vampires,
telling
you, Kevin. They're
who's had more experience with this, you or me?
I throw stuff at them all the time, and they just stop in their tracks and do not move. They just
they just sit there on my wall. They won't move.
It's like they think if they don't move, you can't see them.
Exactly.
Nope.
They have
I know that's what everybody's going to say. I know they're going to say they have poor eyesight. I'm telling you, this one saw me, knew what I was doing, and was not impressed.
Oh,
Ken, has the possum ever hurt you or ever done any damage to you?
No, they're docile creatures. They're so docile, you know. They don't do anything.
I mean, with the exception of if they knock over your trash can or something like that, which would be a which would be an inconvenience. I can't imagine that a possum's going to do anything that's going to negatively impact your life. So just let them be, I say.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
Next time, I'm not going to come to work. Then, dude, it was sitting in my driveway. It did not want me to come to work. I had to move it, and it was not happy about it.
I called the city when my daughter was little because I was in fear that it would hurt my daughter. And the city workers told me that if they come and catch it, all they'll do is re-release it back into the neighborhood.
Wow, this is a huge scandal. This is a scandal the same size as that guy that opened our eyes to the Homeland Security or whatever it was.
The FEMA
and the coffins. This is all tied together, people.
Apparently, we are losing the battle with the possum. No one cares but you. All right, dude. Thank you very much for the call. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we have a wide variety of calls. People who have been in fights with possum.
See?
And won.
Excellent. That's what
we
I need.
We got a biologist, by the way, who has a second opinion on the value of the possum.
Biologists ever fight with one?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Answer? No.
and a story that involves the words possum poop. I never thought I'd say that, but that's all straight ahead right here on the World Famous.
You know what I could do is get my own raccoon. Get a raccoon. As a defense.
to be on your side to counter the possum?
Because a raccoon will tear up a possum.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous K-Rock. We'll check in with Miss LaQuisha in about 15 minutes, talking about last night's Paris Hilton BFF show. In the meantime, though, Kevin has a problem. He has an ongoing battle in his neighborhood with the force of evil known as a possum. And, you know, it's always it's always delicate, Kevin, whenever we bring something like this on the air, because there are a lot of, let's face it, there are a lot of animal lovers, and we're all animal lovers as well. And that's why I'm surprised to see that the number one suggestion from our emailers this morning is Kevin's got to get a BB gun.
Oh, not a bad idea.
That's what they're saying. Let's talk to an expert, Michelle. Michelle is a biologist. She's calling us from Anaheim, and she's
online.
Oh,
what does she know?
Well, maybe a lot about this particular breed of animal. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean, Elisa May.
Hi, Michelle.
So is Kevin overreacting? Is this possum dangerous, or what's the story?
Oh, my God. Possums are not dangerous.
And by not dangerous, you mean they are of the devil.
No. First and foremost, the animal that knocks over your trash cans, makes a mess in your backyard, destroys property. Those are raccoons.
Right.
They come out of the sewer at night, destroy things, and then go back in the sewer and live.
That's right. Possums just, they feed on human blood. Right?
Possums are not. The reason that you threw the box at the possum and it did nothing is that it went into, I'm going to play dead, and it will play dead until the last possible moment. Only then will it walk away. The guy in the hot tub, the reason he got sprayed is because he jumped out. If he had just sat there, been cool, drank his wine, you know, smoked his weed, he would have
Oh, I see what's going on here.
Walked away.
She's part of the system. That's what that's what they want you to think.
Hey, Michelle. Possums are good. Possums eat bad fruit. They clean up your yard. They take care of rats. They're good animals. They're native to this area. They're super good.
They got that beak with those little teeth, though, that'll tear you up.
They don't.
Michelle, I have a question, because we do have people on hold who've been bitten. Why does that happen?
If you get bitten, it means that you were an idiot and got too close. This is a wild
I see how it
animal.
Works. Yeah, sure. It's always the people's fault.
No. If you grab it or
playing,
something.
Yeah, when they're playing dead, they're going to play possum. They're going to play dead until the last minute. But if you reach out to, like, pick it up and toss it, it's going to do exactly what nature intended, which is it's going to defend itself, and then it will bite you. So
and drink your blood, and then you will become a possum in a future life. You have to sleep under the dirt.
Michelle, ignore him. He's an idiot.
I have garlic. I have garlic, and I have a cross, and I'm working on some holy water.
Okay, Michelle, what about a BB gun? What about that suggestion?
No, not a BB gun. Because, BB guns don't kill. All they do is injure, cause infection.
So a real gun. You should use a real gun then.
Of course. And the other thing is that one caller who called in and said if they get trapped, they just return them to the wild. That's not true. Both possums and raccoons are homing animals, meaning they will, no matter where you put them, try to, like, home back, like a homing pigeon.
Oh, okay.
And so you cannot if you collect a raccoon or a possum because they've been deemed a hazard for whatever reason,
right,
they have to be euthanized.
Well, look, it's me or him. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Thanks, Michelle.
I know you're an expert, and it's your life's work, and you're knowledgeable more so than any of us on this call.
We reject you
totally. But thank you for the call very much.
They are the undead, and they scare me for that reason.
So what should you do then? If you take Michelle's advice, you should just ignore it, Kevin. It sounds like she's saying the possum is playing dead until the last possible second, meaning you back your car up slowly, and then at some point the possum will realize you're still coming, and it will jump out of the way and just leave you alone.
Doesn't that sound great?
Wow. Well, that sounds like a win-win situation. Sounds like nobody gets hurt, and you just go about your day.
Let's talk to Sergio real quick. Sergio in East L.A.
Okay.
Hi, Sergio.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Sergio?
You had an evil possum?
My neighbor, he had a chicken coop, or has. Possum would walk down the tree, pick a chicken, in its mouth, climb back up the tree. I shot at it with a paintball gun. It just turned around, looked at me, stared me down, and just laughed and kept walking up the tree.
Yep, that's what it does, silly human. Paintball! Wow, that's the best you can bring, Sergio, is a paintball.
That's what I had handy.
Yeah,
he's lucky I didn't get my .22 rifle.
You're lucky you didn't get your .22 rifle, because then it would have attacked and you
would have wrestled it out of your hands and bent it in half.
You would have. And then spit in your face and turned and walked away.
Probably did.
Thank you, Sergio. Let's do one more. Brandy is in Bellflower. She's on line 6. She hit a possum with a car, and it still came after her. How about that?
Wow.
What?
Okay,
Brandy, what kind of superpowers do these possum have?
Basically, me and my friend were driving around North County. My friend got a new car, so he wanted to show us like how fast it can go and stuff.
Right.
So we're driving around, and we see a possum, and we're like, and my guy friends are like, dude, hit it. Us girls, no, my God, don't hit it. So we're in the middle of the street, kind of, because we're in a neighborhood. It goes to the left, so we swerve to the right. It decides to bust a U-turn in the middle of the street, and so we end up hitting it. And I got my friends are all, dude, sweet, and we're like, oh, my gosh, what'd you do? So my guy friends don't want to look at it. They go to their house, or we go back to their house. Us girls want to see if we killed it. So we go back, and we see it in the middle of the street, like blood, like possum blood everywhere. And we go to like pull over and go to look at it. We were probably like 4 feet away, not too close. That thing took off after us.
Yeah.
And we're screaming down the street like idiots. Like there was 4 of us girls, and we're screaming down. We're running down the street screaming like.
Poor thing, thought you came back to finish it off.
Well, yeah, and then so we got back in the car, and we tried hitting it, and we kept missing it.
Brandy!
Look, here's the thing.
You should not be allowed to drive.
Here's the thing about possums.
They came after us.
You hit it.
You can't kill them. They're already dead. What is wrong with you? Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:42.
What?
You're very
How long
busy.
Was that one over?
Well,
know,
the song,
how long had that song
a little
ended?
While. The song ended, and Alex politely said in my headphones, talk.
Well, we're new at this. It's unbelievable with the quality of this morning show that they've now given us an extra hour in the afternoon. I mean, it doesn't seem like we're headed in the right direction to deserve an extra hour, but
maybe it's punishment.
Maybe it is punishment. Mm-hmm. From 5 until 6, Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde will be on again this afternoon. And among the other things that we have to offer you are free tickets to see Metallica at the Forum and also Coldplay tickets. So that's between 5 and 6 right here this afternoon on the world famous K-Rock.
All right. Time for the Afro Line 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. That is the phone number. You can call on any topic. You know the movie that Omar made and put online?
Cuckamonga Heat, of course.
Cuckamonga Heat.
The all-time greats.
You have to search that on YouTube. It is a magnificent piece of film. That's what the first call is about.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah, this is Mr. Silly String, man. Yeah, I got something I want you to take care of for me, all right? Yeah, I got this guy. He did me some wrong in the past. His name is Michael, all right? Yeah, he touched my little brother. Anyways, I need you to go and make a fake Broadway musical based on Thriller, all right? I need you to do this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid plenty, all right?
Stay
out of the family for me.
Wow.
It's unbelievable the level of cult fandom that Cuckamonga Heat has generated since it's been up on YouTube.
That is the most sought-after piece of film in history.
I mean, at some point, it's got to come out on DVD, and there has to be a big-screen remake or a sequel or something. I mean, it's too popular now to just go away.
There's a glorified rag that they're selling in infomercials. It's got a great name, ShamWow.
ShamWow.
How dare you?
And, you know, it's a little better than a rag, I guess.
A lot better.
It's Tuesday. I'm listening to the station, but I think there's something wrong because I keep getting these knuckleheads talking about this stupid ShamWow. Start talking about something interesting besides this stupid towel.
You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
That's a good point.
That's what they say. That's true.
Yes, hi. I'm a satisfied ShamWow customer. When I'm searching stuff on the internet, it really soaks up a lot of fluid.
All right.
Oh, my God. You don't know how much fluid sucks it right up.
Right. ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid.
Yeah, I don't need the details of how you're using your ShamWow, sir.
We are also doing the Shirts Till It Hurts program because K-Rock will not spring for T-shirts. So we're asking for your old crappy ones.
Yep.
Where's Beer Bug today? Bean, do you have that information handy?
Yeah, I can get that for you.
Right. Beer Bug is at Tilly's at Five Points Plaza, 18545 Main Street in Huntington Beach.
I'm embarrassed. Lisa got it, and neither of us
well
knew
done.
It.
Well done, Lisa.
That's why we're bad.
Oh, I just shirt till it hurt. Oh.
It's not like that.
I'm not sure that guy's got the right idea.
Mug will be there till 9 o'clock. Tilly's at Five Points Plaza in Huntington Beach. Just stop by with any old crappy T-shirt. Donate it to him. You get nothing in return except the satisfaction of knowing that we're going to turn around and give it away to another listener.
I have a shirt that says, save a tree, eat a beaver. I want to send it to you guys.
That's a good shirt.
We'll take it.
Absolutely.
We will take that. That's exactly what we're looking for to send to people. We had Greg Grunberg on from Heroes.
Guys, it was awesome listening to you guys interview Greg Grunberg, who, of course, plays Matt Parkman, the mind reader on Heroes. But I realized you don't really need a special power to read someone's mind. You just stare them in the eyes and make these noises. Yep. Yep. Just like on the show. It works. It works. Watch, Kevin. I'll read your mind. Miss Cleo's Bean? Now watch Bean, I'll read your mind.
Pretty good.
The Rick of the Edmund Pumpkin Coffee.
Wow. Hey, the guy is good. He's got skills.
He does have skills.
Hey, Lisa. This is Eric, the archaeologist who called in yesterday. You seem to be a little upset that I was maybe trying to hit on you and Miss Cleo, but I wanted to let you know that that's not at all the case.
Remember, this is the guy that called and he used
all
of the
archaeological
terms to try and hit on you guys?
You know, and in addition to an archaeologist, I'm also a bit of a playwright. I know how much you love the theater, so I thought maybe you'd let me take you out sometime. We could head down Sunset Boulevard. Afterwards, maybe I'll head down Avenue Q, check out a little shadow box. If you're feeling particularly wicked, there's a little Pirate of Penzance I'd like to show you. And don't worry about me. I also know you're an animal lover, and I can pet that magical Mr. Mistopheles of yours all night long until you say Mamma Mia.
What?
Know what I'm saying?
You must have sex with him. He really has worked hard enough.
He's earned it.
He's earned it.
Either me or Miss Cleo, I agree.
Let the romance begin.
Hey, guys, I just found the most amazing thing online. It's about a two-minute clip of Megan Fox. She's completely naked, reclining on a couch.
Yes.
And she's herself.
Okay.
Yeah, just download that puppy, put her on loop, and enjoy.
All right.
The website address is
www. I didn't get the... I missed the...
Ladies and gentlemen.
That was the
Afro
website.
Call of the year right there. I'm very excited, by the way. It's like a UFC battle in here in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Ed Begley Jr., noted environmentalist, is going to be here with really his polar opposite, Kevin.
How dare you?
Who buys stuff just to throw it away.
Yep.
I mean, could you find two guys more on the opposite side of the green movement than Kevin and Ed Begley Jr.?
See, here's the thing. I think the world needs balance.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So Ed,
you're doing your part.
Ed tips it one way. Somebody's got to tip it back. Otherwise, we're just going to start spiraling out of control.
So
we can't
nice
have that.
Of you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Really.
Kevin's
you
installed giant Klieg lights in his backyard. Like, is he at baseball stadiums when they play night games? He just leaves them on all the time. During the day, at noon, you see the lights just blaring.
Because Ed doesn't have any lights. He just uses flashlights. So I have to even things out. That's
we'll
the way see. It works.
Can we have some sort of a truce, though, where we won't talk about Al Gore's light bulbs? Can we? Because I hate for that battle to spill over into yet another show where Kevin complains, oh, I can't see. Oh, they're
How
not bright enough.
You.
Oh, it's like reading in total darkness.
Let's I am a professional, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Ed joins us after the news at 8. LaQuisha has been located and will also talk to us in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday. What's happening?
Paul Abdul killed a bitch on TV.
Yeah. No way.
Dude. I don't think that's true at all.
A dead woman was found outside Paul Abdul's house.
That's true.
That is true. The victim was found dead in a car yards from Paula's L.A. home. Cause of death may have been a drug overdose, the police speculate. Apparently, the details that are coming out, you can find the story on TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, say that they think it's an alleged Paula Abdul stalker because cops have been to the house numerous times before to deal with this woman, and now she's dead. And Paula has to be suspect number one.
I would think so, yeah.
That's how it goes in the cop shows.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Where were you? Uh-huh. Yeah. You're a perp. That's what I would say to her if I saw her.
That's what you would say? Yeah. You're a perp?
Perp. We got the Vic outside. The Vic and the perp. You're suspect number one, Paula Abdul. Wait till we get the results back from the lab.
I'm tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am. It's hurtful and it stinks. And it takes everything out of me to smile and be jovial when I'm being screwed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Woman outside Paul Abdul's house dies of a drug overdose? Who saw that happening? I thought the woman who lives inside Paul Abdul's house would be going first from a drug overdose. Imagine my shock.
Imagine how much she cried over this. She cries when someone doesn't sing well on a TV show. What do you think? What kind of waterworks are happening when they find a corpse in her front yard?
That's all an act. She's a cold-hearted snake where it counts.
That's what I hear. Oh. I understand that.
Wow. See, because that's a song title.
Look into her eyes. That's all I would
say. Okay, I think we've gone far enough with that.
She's been telling lies. That's all I know. Ah, this is bad, right?
Right.
We don't know.
Oh, okay.
You have to tell us first.
Universal Pictures has announced that Ridley Scott has been brought on board to direct Monopoly the movie.
That'd be sweet.
Really? He's the very talented director who most recently had Body of Lies, right?
Yes. Now he's going to direct Monopoly, the movie.
What's the plot of that? What would that...
People buy real estate.
I can't imagine what the
plot
would
be. And charge rent.
You better hope you get a community chest card, though.
Pass go.
You're now in jail. Now what happens? Get in your little sports car. Drive to Marvin Gardens. That sounds horrible.
That's not a great
and
idea.
Ridley Scott's an idiot.
On the surface.
Apparently it's part of a big deal where Hasbro and Universal have collaborated on several big profile Hasbro products like G.I. Joe and stuff like that, stuff that they make.
G.I. Joe makes a lot of sense.
They've gone into business together to take their famous properties and turn them into feature films, and now they're going to the board game division, I suppose.
Excellent.
Coming soon to a theater near you, Yahtzee, the movie. Can't wait. Terrence Tarantino presents Yahtzee. Get five of a kind, and you die. Yahtzee.
Yeah. I don't think we are on the same page.
It's the end. By the way, I'm not kidding. Battleship is also in development as a feature film. You Sunk My Battleship. Remember that game?
Really?
Yes.
A14.
And wait for it, Ouija Board, the movie.
Okay,
also in development.
That makes a little sense because at least there's the, you know,
pushing a needle around a piece of wood.
No, there's the other world. Out. There's the otherworldly part of it. I mean, if you're doing Battleship, you're just
in a world. Why two people got together? E to ask a board a question. S. F that.
But would you be in it if they called?
Sure. I'm a whore. Don't get me wrong.
This summer, the game Trouble. Remember that one?
Yeah, right. The Pop-O-Matic. I love the Pop-O-Matic games. CW has announced they are canceling their plans to do a TV show about the young years of Batman's sidekick, Robin.
Just too gay?
No.
Yeah.
They were going to do a Smallville-type series about young Dick Grayson. The, what?
Name is Dick. Go ahead.
The young trapeze artist who was part of the Flying Graysons.
Okay, now it's ridiculous. That's the truth?
Well, that's the origin of Robin, of Dick Grayson. He was part of a traveling trapeze group in a circus called the Flying Graysons, and his parents were murdered in front of his eyes by a gangster who was trying to extort the circus owner.
Come on! No,
and they were the big act. They were the number one drawing act.
That is not where
so
Robin came from.
So he kills them off, and he sees his parents plummet to their deaths. from trapeze ropes that had been burned through with acid. And his parents were killed by dastardly criminals, much like Bruce Wayne's parents were. And so Bruce Wayne adopts him and takes him on as his young ward and also sidekick Robin the Boy.
Could you be any gayer?
All of that makes sense, and maybe I'm just, you know, have been used to the story my whole life, but it does seem like Robin is the most expendable part of the Batman legend.
How dare you?
I'm saying, when they make the movies, it seems like the first thing they cut out to simplify the story is, well, let's just get rid of Robin, because he doesn't bring much. Because he is kind of just a Batman's little lapdog, right?
He's a yes man.
He's the yes man.
Can't breathe.
He's lame, you know it.
Pain in chest.
On the TV show, Ralph, which is where I have most of my understanding of the Robin character, it just seems like he just does whatever Batman tells him to do. He doesn't really come up with any good ideas on his own. He's just kind of a hanger-on a little bit. Am I wrong?
They just go to the Batcave and, you know, that's what happens.
Maybe a dynamic duo? Does that phrase ring a bell?
Yeah, but
partners in fighting crime together?
But he didn't. He never needed Robin.
Robin helped him an awful lot. Helped him solve mysteries and come up with clues and fight guys together. Two guys beating on a bunch of criminals is a lot better than one guy beating on a bunch of criminals.
But isn't Robin just 10% to Batman's 90%, though, in terms of what they accomplish as a crime-fighting duo?
Robin is a pussy. That's what we're saying.
Everything you've just said has been said before about you two, by the way. I won't tell you which one's which, but I'm just saying. People have said, oh, really? Does he need the other guy? That's what I'm saying. And yet, you wouldn't want to split up this dynamic duo, would you?
Hell no.
Because you wouldn't be the same without. Would Batman.
Why did Christian Bale not need Robin in his movies, then, if Robin is so essential?
Because Batman was in business as a crime fighter. He had a few years under his belt before he saved Dick Grayson and adopted him and made him his sidekick. So they're just doing the early years of Batman. Now, I'm sure they will eventually get to the Robin years.
When they're really out of steam.
Right.
And desperate.
Oh, man. Out of stories.
Anyway, this show is going to be about DJ Grayson, they were going to call him. They were going to call him Dick Grayson because people like Mike watch television. And DJ Grayson, after his parents were killed, he was going to go out onto the road to find himself and help people in distress. And they canceled this idea. Can you believe it?
Wow, what a surprise.
Yeah. So you won't be seeing Grayson anytime soon on television. Warner Brothers pulled the plug because, and I quote, it doesn't fit the studio's strategy for the Batman franchise.
Plus, just too gay.
And the character is irrelevant to the world.
Wow.
And no one will miss him.
Wow. Wow. That hurts.
Come on, Robin Gay.
Robin is part of the legacy.
Come on.
You have to let Robin go.
Oh, you don't need Lois Lane for Superman. It's part. They're part and parcel of each other. They exist in tandem.
Right, but only because Batman's too much man, they had to bring in a gay guy to just cut it down a little. It's too heterosexual that way.
Robin could kick your ass.
Oh, Robin couldn't kick anyone's ass. Lisa could take on Robin. She's got her plaid belt or whatever it is.
He would stick his little green booty right up your ass. That's all I'm telling you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anne Hathaway from The Princess Diaries is 26 years old today. Ryan Gosling from The Notebook turns 28. Megan Mullally of Will and Grace was recently on 30 Rock. She guest starred. It was very funny on that show. Mm-hmm. 50 years old today. And Neil Young, world's worst singer, is 63 years old.
How dare you?
Next hour, I'm going to pull in some... we don't have a next hour anymore, do we?
No.
No.
Tomorrow, though.
Tomorrow.
Maybe today on the afternoon?
Maybe in the afternoon. I'll bring a little taste of Neil Young in so people can hear what the F he sounds like.
Not to confuse us, but we do have a next hour. A next show.
Do I have another showbiz? Yeah. I'm still learning this whole new system.
Yeah, you have one more. You can bring it in. Any one of his songs will be fine.
Yeah, let's bring a little taste. And you'll hear. We may be. If no one listens, is there still a show? That's the old philosophical question. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dude, there's a bicycle in Studio R. Somebody brought their bicycle to work. I don't know what that's about.
Who do you think that was? Look around the room and see if there's anyone likely to have ridden his bicycle to the K-Rock Studios in Compton from freaking Studio City. Who do you think that might be?
The crazy guy with the crazy hair.
Oh, Ed Begley Jr. How's it going,
yes,
Ed?
Ed Begley Jr.
How are you guys doing?
We are good. How are you?
Was that Madge Simpson?
It was.
That was Marge, yeah.
Marge.
Yeah.
You see what I know?
When were you on The Simpsons? How long ago was this
episode? I think it was 93. It was pretty funny.
They're always funny.
Always funny.
Here's my favorite part from the episode.
Aren't you coming, Ed?
I prefer a vehicle that doesn't hurt Mother Earth. It's a go-kart powered by my own sense of self-satisfaction.
Now, that was me, of course, doing my own voice, because if you're going to be mocked, you might as well get a check for it and some
might
swag.
Might as well do it yourself, sure.
Exactly, sure. Why not?
Absolutely.
And there's Ed Begley Jr.
How long did it take you to ride the bike over the hill this morning, Ed?
45 pretty easy minutes. I got a trick way to go up. I'm not on Laurel Canyon, the valley side. People going 50 miles an hour. You don't want to do
that. Scary.
There's a place, Fryman Canyon, then Donna Dorothea, and you don't see any cars all the way up. I mean, you see them, but you're not in the middle of them.
Now, going back, that's going to be quite a hill.
But the good thing, going back, there's a shoulder on the right all the way up Laurel. There's room for a car, and it's single lane, so you can do it quite easily. It's not dangerous.
But don't you get halfway back up the hill and go, wow, this sucks?
I sure wish I would have driven my car.
This is the weird thing. You kind of get used to the hills, and you kind of crave the hills.
Really?
If you're in the flats for a while. I've been in the, you know, I was at in New York for a while doing a play, and I had a bike there, and around, you know, Central Park, there's no big hills.
Right.
So you kind of go, I kind of miss that, you know, that good hill.
That's how you and I are very, very different.
Lisa, can't it sometimes take 45 minutes from Studio City to the K-Rock Studios?
Going home?
In a car? Driving?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. In a car. Absolutely. I would have beat any car leaving from Laurel and Ventura. I saw them stacked up there going up Laurel just to get to Mulholland. There's
right.
a long line, and then there's a few other lines at Pico. There's a big line that stretches back almost to Olympic.
Do you look at the cars and cackle as you ride your bike by?
I try not to. You don't want to cackle at people. They could be armed.
Can they tell it's you, Ed, or can they not make out who you are because of the bike helmet?
This is a crazy thing. You got a bike helmet on and everything, and they somehow still recognize you.
They do?
Yeah. I mean, not a lot. It's not like every car, but a few people, hey, it's you, dude.
Can I get a ride? It's my car stopped.
It's the old dude with the bike.
they yell out of their cars.
Man, I have really had it with you tree huggers.
So. Exactly. That's exactly. How did you have a clip of that? You got that in the way in.
He has everything.
Ed Begley Jr., of course, is the mayor of Green Hollywood. He's a longtime friend of the Kevin Beach, and we're always excited to catch up with him. But we need to make sure to mention that you can also see his fine acting work on a TV show called Gary Unmarried that airs Wednesday nights at 8:30 on CBS. Our friend Jay Moore is the
wonderful
is the star
Jay Moore,
of the show.
The funny Jay Moore. Oh, he's good.
He's great.
He's terrific. And I know he's very, very excited about having the show because, frankly, he's a stand-up comic, and he's so happy to be off the road. He just wants a job that he can go to and sleep in his own bed at night.
Yeah, he likes it a lot. I like it a lot. It's a great job, and Jim Burrows directs him. He's great, but Jay brings a lot to the party. He's, as you say, a great stand-up, so he brings stuff in each week, and they use it. You know,
incorporate
it? Yeah, he's really funny. He keeps the audience alive, too, between, you know, when things go wrong, as they always do.
Oh, yeah.
He's always keeping it alive. He's great.
And Bob
Marshall is great.
Do you harass him about not being green?
No, not at all.
You don't?
No. He harasses me about being green.
Sure.
How
well,
dare you ride a bike?
The level of greenness that you've attained, and by the way, long before it was hip, and the religion is amazing. I mean, Ed Begley Jr. has been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah. 38, to be quite precise. 38
years.
1970.
Al Gore was throwing McDonald's trash out his car window going down the highway back when Ed Begley Jr. was already green.
And I was there to catch it. But, you know, I did it not just for the environment. What I learned quickly in 1970, I didn't count on this, I was saving money. It's not about the environment. My wife busted me for this. She said, you don't care about Mother Earth. You're just cheap. Riding the bike and taking the bus. There's a lot of money to be saved in all this stuff.
Yeah, but when you're an actor, taking the bus is a little weird. Isn't it?
It can be very weird. There's a quick story. There's a guy that's always behind, like, the velvet rope, behind the cordon, behind the police barricade. He's a fan guy, and he's always there. Mm-hmm. One day, I happened to be on a bus, and he was on the bus. He was very alarmed about it. It was unsettling to him. He looked at me, thought I had fallen on hard times. Why else would I be on the bus? I'm always protected from him. And now I'm right across the aisle from him,
right.
And he couldn't quite look at me. It was very weird. Isn't that crazy?
Wow, yeah. Did you walk over and give him a hug or something?
I did. Maybe that's why he was scared
of
me.
Could be. You might have scared him.
Yeah.
I remember the listener that we had on who was really worried when he saw you in the supermarket selling your environmental cleaning products.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, poor Ed is out there having to hawk his own stuff.
I know. There's no acting work, so he's selling, you know, cleaners.
You must get that because I know you do that at the Studio City.
I do. I did it at the market. I stopped about a year and a few months ago because I got real busy, but I did it for a while. And then I did it just the other day at 3rd and Fairfax at a Whole Foods, a book signing and a thing. And people, wow, so you don't act anymore? No, it's kind of a Newman's Own thing. It's a way to raise money and a good thing. So
it's funny that you've been consistently acting for all this time, and yet when people see you like that, their first reaction is, wow, times are tough.
Yeah.
You must not be acting.
Must not be. I missed reruns. The Gary Unmarried show was done years ago, I guess, and that's in reruns. I don't know what they think.
Ed, do you work a lot, or do you pick and choose and just do a couple things a year? Do you like to be working on the stage or on the TV all the time? What's your deal?
I work a lot. I was doing the show Living with Ed that was on Home and Garden. Now it's on Planet Green reruns. And then I got Gary Unmarried. So now it's... crazy busy. I work every week on Gary Unmarried, you know, Monday through Friday. Then on the weekends, I go into speaking engagements and other things and movies. And right now, I'm having a real scheduling problem with a couple of movies that they want me to work on. What a great predicament to have a scheduling problem
no
in
kidding.
2000.
You're in Pineapple Express, right?
I was. What a funny movie that was. Seth Rogen.
Yeah, he's the best.
Awesome. He's great.
Yeah. It is. It's always, I mean, you do elevate. I'm not just saying this because you're here. I mean, we've talked about you when you're not in the room before. Any movie that you're in or any TV show, in the case of Gary Unmarried, something about Ed Begley being there just makes it a little better. I don't know what that is.
You made my day. My
it's
God.
It's true, though, Ed.
That's
I mean,
very
always...
kind. If I don't just bring it down, I'm happy. If I just keep, you know, the Judd Apatow, Seth Rogen thing at the same level I entered the room, then I'm happy.
Tell me, before the break, and we do have Ed Begley Jr. here, and we will talk some more with him about the TV show and other things in a moment, but tell me, now that we have a new president-elect, if that's good news for you and your causes, does Mr. Obama seem to have an ear toward the environmental change you'd like to see in this country, Ed?
Yeah, he's as a very good voting record at the League of Conservation Voters. It's a good way to look at somebody's voting record. They're just, it's yay or nay, up or down, you know, on environmental matters, environmental bills, and he has a very high percentage rating. I think 90-some-odd percent. Very
not as high as, you know, President Bush with his extreme concerns.
Exactly.
But who could be that high?
Hey, you know, but the great thing, McCain's speech, everybody is saying, and Bush was obviously very nice to him, as any president would be at the White House. Let's all get along now. Let's work together. And he's certainly building his team with people from all different backgrounds and ways of thinking. We're talking to people like Warren Buffett about that. If I was in his position, I want to talk to Warren Buffett about the economy, too, and all those people. He's building a great team. So let's not try to crush anybody. Let's now that they're in. Let's all work together.
We were thinking about that yesterday, how he went to the White House for the first time and toured the Oval Office and upstairs where his family's going to live. That must have just been exciting beyond words for, I mean, even if you think
exciting.
You're going to be president, when you're president and you're touring what's going to be your house, that's got to be crazy.
Amazing. Amazing.
Have you been to the White House, Ed?
I have. I've been there a few times and, you know, it's kind of, it's pretty awe-inspiring, you know, to be there in the Oval Office. Clinton was a friend. I knew him when he was governor of Arkansas. So
no kidding.
I got to go to the White House. I didn't stay in the Lincoln bedroom, but there was environmental events, and I would be there, and he was always very nice. I remember Ed Begley. He showed me my first electric car in 1992. Ed Begley, would you please say hello?
Wow, I didn't know you were an impressionist.
Well, not Jay's an impressionist. Jay does 20 great impressions.
Does,
Jay Moore. I do like four.
Have you met Senator Obama yet?
I have not. I look forward to meeting him. I helped the campaign a bit, but I have not met him.
Very exciting. All right, we got to take a break. The TV show is on tonight, Wednesdays at 8:30 on CBS, and they are they've been very supportive of this show, and I guess they've already committed to sticking with it for the full season, right, Ed?
They have not yet, not that I've heard. Maybe you guys have. You guys are a CBS station. Maybe you have inside information.
Oh, please. We know less than anyone.
Ed, you're fine. Spend it if you got it, Ed. You're going to be fine. This show's going to last forever.
I think we'll take a
quick break and come back with Ed Begley Jr. right after this on the World Famous Camera. We'll catch up with LaQuisha here in just a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, don't forget, it's the Shirts Till It Hurts campaign that is in effect all this week. We are accepting your donations. Our friend Beer Mug is out with the K-Rock van at the Tilly's location at Five Points Plaza, 18545 Main Street in Huntington Beach. He's going to be there until 10 o'clock this morning if you want to swing by with any T-shirt. Ed Begley Jr., you're going to love this. We've got a T-shirt recycling program now.
Oh, I like that.
Instead of throwing out your T-shirts, you give them to K-Rock, and then we turn around and give them to other listeners because we're too poor to afford to make new ones.
I've got lots of shirts I'm going to give you. No lie.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Lots of shirts, and some of them are pretty cool. They say lots
of
different
things. Yeah, but we don't
want
cool. We want really obscurely bad.
These are,
did
got
you have
that
those?
Too.
Okay,
I got
good.
Plenty of those.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Shirts that you're too embarrassed to wear, we want to turn around and give to other listeners.
I got lots of them.
All right, excellent.
Tilly's at Five Points Plaza in Huntington Beach. If you need that address exactly, you can go to kirok.com, and he'll be there till around 10 o'clock, and you can get the idea for the location for tomorrow as well. I guess I didn't realize, Ed, that, of course, you're a junior. Your dad was a very successful Oscar-winning actor, right?
Correct. He won an Oscar for Sweet Bird of Youth with Paul Newman, Geraldine Page in 1962, and he was in 12 Angry Men. He did a lot of movies.
Wonderful.
Where's the Academy Award today? Is that the type of thing that's passed down in the family? You got it at home on your mantle, huh?
He willed it to me, and I have it on my mantle in my home.
That's beautiful. So are you one of those kids who kind of always knew you were going to go into showbiz because that was the family business?
They tell me at age three or something like it, what do you want to be? I want to be an actor. And I certainly remember whatever age six I start to remember things. I certainly remember, what do you want to be? I want to be an actor. I
want to
be
a comedian. Did they try to talk you out of it?
He was very careful. He didn't want to talk me out of it or into it. He said, if you want it, you got to work for it. I'm not going to hand it to you. And, you know, I'm sure he helped in some secret ways. I suddenly had an agent one day. How did I get an agent, you know?
That's a good trick.
Yeah. You're eight, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I started going out in interviews when I was 10. And, my dad did something. He called somebody.
Sure.
I pestered
him
so much.
How about that? Yeah. What were some of the – I know, the first time I ever remember seeing you, it seemed like you were one of those actors who was a guest star on every hit show of the 70s and 80s. I mean, it didn't matter whether it was Charlie's Angels or Happy Days. You were on the show for some reason. There were a bunch of you. There were a bunch of you, though, that kind of made the rounds on all the shows. Were you, as like 11, 12-year-old, did you also show up on some TV shows?
No, I wanted to work from the earliest age. Age 10, I started going out. I got nothing. Finally, age 17, I got my first job. By no coincidence, I had started to train as an actor. Young actors can be so arrogant. I was the son of an actor. I thought, well, that looks easy, what my dad does. He just kind of talk in front of a camera. I can do that. I'm charming.
Right.
Wake me when I'm famous. And so I didn't get any work because imagine the son of a plumber. I'll ride in the truck today. What, you put the pipes together, right, Dad?
Right, how hard could that be?
Yeah, how hard could that be? And so when I started training, then I got jobs. Before that, I didn't get any work, of course.
Was there ever a time where the work was dried up a little bit and you had some doubts as to whether you were going to be able to make a career out of it?
I had a couple of low points. I started working at age 17. I thought, wow, this is great. The phone's going to ring off the hook and I'll get work. You know, I'm in SAG now, so the phone's going to ring. I got nothing. I got one job at age 17. I got two jobs at 18. So I started working as a cameraman, and that work was good. And then James L. Brooks on Room 222 and others gave me some work on that show. And so I started working on that a little bit and gave up the camera work. And then, but by 1982, I'd been in the business 15 years at that point, and I went, nothing's happening. I got to pack it in. I'm going to move to Atlanta. I thought I had this plan. I'm going to move to Atlanta, be a big fish in a smaller pond, and have a talk show there or something, because I know all these rock stars and people and actors. When they came to Atlanta, I'd get them to come on my show.
Right.
We're leaving town, honey. Put the house in the market. Wait, before you go, there's one last job your agent called. There's some show called Saint Elsewhere, and go and audition for that. And if you don't get that, we'll go.
Wow.
And I got that, and I stayed.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable? So you were one audition away, basically, from
packing. I was going to leave town. I was going to move to Atlanta.
And St. Elsewhere was huge for how many years, and what were the years?
6 years, 82 through 88. Denzel Washington was on the show, Alfre Woodard, Ed Flanders, Howie Mandel, Bill Daniels, Bonnie Bartlett, great people were on it, and it was a great 6 years.
That's the beautiful thing about show business is there are so many stories like yours where it could have just gone so differently so easily, and you wonder how many people out there quit and never got that one audition that would have made a whole career out of it. That's what's so alluring about it is there's luck involved in addition to skill.
But that's also luck. What's so awful about it, because then you hang in there because you think it'll be the next one and then the next one and then the next, and when do you finally go, okay, I need to go do what plumbers do or whatever.
Well, people, young actors, actors say, hey, I want to be an actor. Should I? I said, absolutely not. If you have to ask that question, the answer is no.
Yeah.
If you go, I must act, I'm waiting tables, I'm parking cars, and how do I get to do a play? I'll do it for free. Then, okay, now you got a shot. That person who says that, you got a shot.
See, a little bit of free advice from Ed Begley Jr. this morning for the K-Rock audience out there that's looking for a little incentive to keep going today.
Now, at this point, though, they come to you and they say, they pitch a show and then you either accept the show or off with their heads, right?
I mostly get offered stuff, but there's some stuff I audition for, and I do. I auditioned for, quite happily auditioned for the show 6 Feet Under. It was so good.
Which was amazing.
The amazing show. So I went red. The job is yours. I did it. Was a recurring character on that. Did a few episodes. And other things, if there's some extraordinary piece, a movie, or sometimes even a TV show, I will audition because I'm very lucky in a way. I decided years ago, I like to audition. I like to read good material. And if they're going to allow me to do it again, I go on an audition. I go, wow, I did the part. I did it. It felt good. I did the part.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to get a call later from the agent saying, I get to do it again in front of a Panaflex and they'll pay me. That's gravy. I like to.
You actors, like auditions.
I like
you would
audition.
Be happy with auditions without the shows?
If they paid him.
No, I like actors like to act, and
sure.
I like the process of acting.
But the auditions for most actors, I would guess, is nightmarish.
They don't. Most actors don't like it. I like it only if the material's good. If it's not good or something interesting, because I like to act, so I get to play the part and be a doctor, be a lawyer, pretend and be whatever I am. And then at some point, if I didn't get any of them, I'd go do theater for free somewhere. I like to act, and I'd make money parking cars or making furniture.
Well, parking
or something.
Bicycles.
Parking bicycles. Parking bicycles. Exactly right.
All right. Last question, Ed. Is it true that you almost didn't get to play the lead in Living with Ed? There was some talk that they were going to give it to Gary Coleman or somebody else who read better for that one.
Yeah, Rick Schroeder, miraculously, I don't know why. I guess
he was
going to
live with your wife in your house, right?
Well, I didn't get it till just now. He's a lot younger. They were going younger.
Sure.
And Rochelle was very happy with arrangement. That's the thing that was the most
troubling. I bet she was.
Very happy. And Jay passed on it. Jay, of course, again, younger, funnier. And so Jay passed on it. He was going to do it, and he just wasn't interested.
It is funny, by the way. And again, Ed Begley Jr. has been our guest. The show is Gary Unmarried, which airs tonight at 8:30 on CBS. It is funny for us, knowing you and knowing Jay, to see the torture you put on him on the show, the fact that you essentially stole his woman from him. I do love that so much.
It's great. The writers are so good. It's really the funniest room in town. You know, Ed Yeager and all these guys got a great room of people together. The writers are terrific. And then you got Jay doing it and Paula Marshall doing it, all these, and Jim Burr is directing it. It's like a recipe for success, and the ratings are very good. It's doing very well.
That's a good
for
show.
You.
I watch it.
Good for you. Gary Unmarried, 8:30 CBS. Ed, always a pleasure to catch up with you, man. I hope we'll do it again soon.
Love you guys.
Thanks. Speaking of entertaining, Paris Hilton's new BFF is Not That. That's the TV show that's on MTV. We don't want to watch it, so our friend LaQuisha does, and she reviews it for us each week on Wednesdays. Hey, LaQuisha.
Are you kidding me? That's the best show on TV.
Right, that's what we meant.
Paris Hilton and her girls, who are all trying to be her best friend, are still in Las Vegas in this episode, and Paris gives them the order to fill her mansion with men. That's their new challenge. They're going to pick up a bunch of men and bring them back to the house.
Nice.
And the girls feel like they're up for the challenge, especially in Las Vegas.
I see some A-team kind of guys, so I approach a few. I met two basketball players and a guy who worked there, and all three of them wanted to come back to the mansion and party. I love man candy.
She does love man candy.
Man paste, too, by the way.
What are A-team looking guys? The guys look like George Papard Dirk Benedict?
I don't think she's talking about the 1970s TV show, no.
Oh.
I think she means A-team.
That's what I like. Find me a man looks like Mr. T. Now, some of the girls think this challenge is beneath them, trying to just pick up random men and invite them back to the mansion. One of them is Kaylee Gable. Now, Kaylee Gable is the granddaughter of Clark Gable. And you guys know who Clark Gable is?
He was that actor from Gone with the Wind back in the 30s, right?
Right. He was a big star back in like 1939.
Okay.
With Gone with the Wind and whatnot. Kaylee is his granddaughter, and she will not let you forget that.
It's just embarrassing. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I have morals and values because I'm Clark Gable's granddaughter, and he's the king of Hollywood. It's a name that you don't want to ruin or take advantage of.
Listen, he's not the king of Hollywood. He's been dead for 40 years.
Does she know that she's on a show about Paris Hilton's best friend?
Yeah, but she does not want to take advantage of the name Gable.
Okay.
Other than say it every time a camera is on her to anyone who will listen.
There are some hideous guys there. And I knew I was in trouble. But I'm Clark Gable's granddaughter.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
We got that. We understand your family lineage now at this point. You,
seriously,
granddaughter, Clark Gable. Got it. That's like, a family tree now.
It's not like Chris Rock is your father. I mean, it's really someone no one cares about who's long dead and is a distant relative of.
Now, the girls don't do a good job of filling the house up with men. Paris comes down to find five guys at the party.
What?
Five. That's the only people they could wrangle.
How hard is it to...
OMG. I said wall-to-wall guys. What part of wall-to-wall didn't they understand?
At what point do we get to retire OMG, by the way? When can that go away? Can it be now, please?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Some of the girls lose the competition because they didn't bring any men to the house. So now in the next competition, Paris tries to find out about the skeletons in the closets of the girls. So she sets up a fake courtroom in her mansion with witnesses to testify against each of the girls about what they've done bad in the past.
I, Shelley, promise to tell the truth,
The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, Paris.
So help me, Paris.
Oh, dude. This is on TV, LaQuisha?
On TV.
O-M-F-G.
Now, Lauren has a woman from her past come out, an ex-friend of hers, that says Lauren pulled down her shirt to look at her boobs and then tried to make out with her, which I think Paris Hilton would be all for.
That's all right.
But Lauren has to defend herself.
That never happened. It's where on my grandmother's grave.
We're comparing boobs, who had the nicer boobs, and I definitely have the nicer boobs, bitches.
Bitches. Bitches.
Let us be the judge of that.
Now, a friend of Corey's comes out in a taped message and says that Corey is a big old hoe bag.
She slept with my friend's husband, my ex-boyfriend when we were on a break, slept with my friend's baby's daddy.
She slept with a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes Corey feel a little embarrassed.
I feel like an ass.
You're not an a-hole. You're a whore. There's a difference. Well, it comes down to Corey the slut and Kaylee, who, by the way, if you didn't know, is Clark Gable's granddaughter.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yes. Hmm. Now, Corey has to defend herself so she don't get voted off. And here she is with the classic reality TV show defense. She's too pretty.
She's extremely jealous. I mean, Paris, I plead to you that you more know so much than anybody else what it's like to have people see something of value and worth and hate you because you're beautiful and you didn't ask for it. I did not ask for this. It was given to me. I used to come home and cry in high school and say, Mom, I don't want to be pretty anymore. And she'd be like, you stop it. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Women.
It is comparable to being Jesus if you're too pretty. You know that, LaQuisha.
I didn't ask to be hot.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Wow.
Now, Corey is very protective of her reputation, especially back home.
People call me Bikini Corey back home because I have earned it. And it's not being cocky. I have earned it.
She has earned the title of Bikini Corey.
By being born difficult. Hot?
She has worked hard for that. She put on a bikini, and then they called her Bikini Corey, and she earned it.
God, I want to slap
not
her.
Being cocky. She earned that
she
title.
She did earn that. That
they
is true.
They didn't just give it to her for not
no.
wearing a bikini, LaQuisha.
She earned it, Bikini Corey. Meanwhile, Kaylee, who is a drunken, just crazy-ass party girl, she's defended herself, too.
I know I'm wild and a free spirit, and I can chill and just have a relaxing time, and I'm kind of a homebody.
No, you're not. You go out and get drunk every night.
Aren't they trying to be Paris Hilton's best friend? Shouldn't all of these girls, all of the stuff, be working in their favor?
It should be, but Paris is lying, saying she doesn't like this kind of behavior.
Ugh.
She's not a homebody unless her body is in someone else's home after the bar closes. That's the only time she's a homebody. Well, Kaylee, who, by the way, is the granddaughter of Clark Gable.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
She gets voted off the show at the end, but she thinks she had a good time anyway.
I think that my grandfather would be proud of me. I did get a little toasted a few nights, which, you know, my grandpa loved his booze, too.
There you go. More Clark Gable trivia.
Wow.
For the MTV generation.
Wow.
They love themselves some Clark Gable.
They sure do.
It's terrible. All right, LaQuisha.
The worst thing that ever happened to that girl is that somebody told her her grandfather was famous.
I know. It's like, look.
She probably never met him either. She probably has no idea who he is. Just she heard.
No, it's just George Washington Carver is in my family, too, invented the peanut. I don't go into every grocery store, someone pick up a jar of Jiffy, and I say, hey, you know, my great-great-great-great-granduncle invented that, you eating.
You should.
Maybe I will go do that.
We'll talk to you next week, LaQuisha.
Bye. Thanks.
I'm Lisa May with KROQ Traffic.
Wow. Got to turn on my mic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
So busy playing your little sound effects that you forget we're doing a show here. Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah,
it's all fun and games till somebody gets hurt.
Wow, I just got hurt.
Ralph has the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Britney Spears took her kids to an alligator farm yesterday.
Good times.
I've been to that alligator farm, by the way.
Of course you have.
You didn't even have to tell us. We already knew that.
What could go wrong for kids at an alligator farm?
Nothing.
Thanks for adding, by the way, Bean, to the bit when it's 8:57. Thanks for coming up with useful comic information.
No one cares.
It's an awesome place. I don't blame her for taking her kids there. If you were going to bag on her for taking her kids there, I'm telling you, it's a fantastic place. It gets millions of visitors.
Exciting story.
Here's the thing. Kid just came out of the hospital with seizures from something she fed him.
Yes.
Now she's taken to an alligator farm. Maybe not the best idea.
She's hoping to go home with one fewer kids, I think.
Maybe take them to Cotton Ball Palace. Is that place nice and soft and safe?
Have you been there, Bean?
I've been to the Cotton Ball Palace. Millions of tourists come to see the cotton balls.
It's soft. It does seem like they should stay away from Razor Blade Alley or wherever Brittany's got in mind for the kids, I guess.
Kleebert's Turtle and Alligator Tours in Hammond, Louisiana is where she took them. And thousands of alligators live there, which is good for kids. Wow.
The kids love seeing them, though. They're a lot of fun to look at. I support Brittany.
Shut up. In more horror news, Lindsay Lohan says she just hooked up with Justin Timberlake at her place. She's telling all her friends. According to Star Magazine, Justin's girlfriend Jessica Biel was in England filming a movie. Lindsay invited JT over to her house.
No good.
Seduced him, apparently had a romp on the couch. Justin, of course, denies it because he wants to keep having sex with Jessica Biel.
Sure.
Yeah.
And who can blame him?
Lindsay is a goer these days.
I'm telling you, I think she would be so much fun in bed, Lindsay.
Yeah, because she's crazy, right?
Yeah,
you get the idea. She's just nuts.
She would be just great.
I mean, she doesn't even care what you've got on in your pants. You know what I mean? She just, whatever, just roll with it.
Plus, minus, she doesn't care. However you're packing.
She'll make it work.
There. Joe Jonas has a new girlfriend of the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, good.
People Magazine says he's now dating smoking hot 22-year-old actress Camilla Bell.
What?
Yep.
You know who she is, mate?
Yes!
She stars in the upcoming movie 10,000 BC. Apparently, she was also in the video of the Jonas Brothers music video, Love Bug.
Love Bug.
Of course, none of this matters because he's not going to bang her.
Oh, that's right. He's one of the virgins till marriage, guys.
So, what a waste.
Yeah.
She is on him.
I agree. You should be required to only date ugly women if you're going to stay a virgin.
What's the point? Why date a hot chick if you're not going to use it?
Why take him out of circulation?
Right. That's right.
That's right.
Good and idea. If you are dating hot chicks, by the way, smarten up about how you treat them.
Come on.
Look at her.
Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable.
Nicole Kidman's madly in love with Keith Urban. She just accepted a Woman of the Year award last week, and she thanked Keith Urban for taking her to Tennessee. Yeah, that'll teach her. And for teaching her she deserves to be loved. Listen, Keith, you are never going to keep her around if you keep up with that. You have to teach her she is unlovable.
That's right.
That's how you hold on
to And you're doing her a huge favor.
Exactly. That's how you hold on to an attractive movie star abroad. You don't tell her she deserves to be loved, because next thing you know, she's going to want to vote. And
I think she can already vote.
Drive herself
around and be seen in public without walking 3 feet behind you and all kinds of nuttiness.
Yeah, you got to keep that self-esteem way patted down.
Yeah, especially if you're a country music singer. You got one strike against you already. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anne Hathaway from The Princess Diaries is 26 years old today. Ryan Gosling from The Notebook turns 28. Megan Mullally from Will and Grace is 50. And we've been talking about him all morning because it's his birthday. Neil Young is 63 years old today. And Bean keeps telling us what a great singer he is.
Mm-hmm. He's terrific.
And
He's terrific.
And we would like to present some evidence for the prosecution, Your Honor.
I caught you knocking at my cellar door. I love you, baby. Can I have some more?
Brilliant.
Ooh, the damage done.
Couldn't be any better. Love it.
I hit the city and I lost my band. I watched the needle take another man. Gone, the damage done.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
If he had to sing somebody else's songs, would he be famous? No, he's a great songwriter,
you know,
fine.
If it was open mic night at a coffee shop and he started rocking this song up on that stage, he would never stop being pelted with crockery.
He brings a unique sound to his material. Yes, he does. But he's a tremendous artist. I'm surprised you don't like Neil Young, Ralph. I really am.
Really?
Because you like other.
Did you hear that?
You like other old bad stuff.
I like a lot of classic rock from the 60s and 70s. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Not so much.
But especially that song, I mean, it's such a heartbreaking song about, you know, drug abuse. I mean, he's fragile. He's singing it in, from the perspective of the character who's just been beat up by drugs. That's all.
Yeah, and apparently kicked in the groin by drugs.
Exciting story.
Like this, kicked in the balls.
You know who loves Neil Young? Artists. Other artists worship that guy.
Yes, I know.
Because he's a great artist.
Wow.
He's tremendous.
Put me in the not artist category, then.
He's terrific.
I'm Carmen. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And thanks to our special guest, Mr. Ed Begley Jr., for joining us today. Gary Unmarried is the show. It airs Wednesdays. Hey, that's tonight at 8:30 on the CBS. What else is going on in the Kevin Bean radio empire over the next 24 hours, Kevin?
Well, we're
going
to do Kevin Bean Cinco de la Tarde again today, which is 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard to understand. People seem to be very thrown off by this. It's an hour at 5.
I think that's screw up people who they have the rhythm of hearing Kevin and Bean in the morning, so they hear us in the afternoon and they get all discombobulated, like what's going, like the world's upside down somehow. I can understand where they're coming from.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's not that hard to understand. That's all I'm saying. We're going to talk about Spencer Pratt and all of his various TV shows. We're going to have another Showbiz Beat with Ralph with some updated stories, and we got some tickets for Coldplay. Oh, 5 o'clock hour.
Okay. Awesome. All right, and then looking ahead toward tomorrow, we've got a great guest lineup, including funny man Kevin Nealon will be here, and actor Seth Green.
Seth Green.
Well, oh, you can do it that way too, I guess. Cat Corbett's next. How about 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, beginning with The Offspring on the way. Also, we got some Sponge, The Killers, Green Day, Linkin Park, and more, all right after this on the world famous
106.7. K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde show. Boy, is it dark out there. Woo, it's dark.
It happens every year about this time, Kevin. It can't be a big surprise to you this way. Yeah, we generally do the morning show, and now we're on from 5 until 6 here on the World Famous K-Rock. And thank you so much for all the support. For instance,
Kevin and Bean, honestly, they're a couple of schmucks.
A lot of messages like that being left for us. We appreciate that. We have an intern program in the Kevin and Bean show. We have for years where students from local colleges come in, and they learn a little bit about radio. And Kevin has been in charge of the hiring for some time now. And Kevin, why don't you explain to the folks how you decide who gets to work for us?
I really just go for comedy. I really it's got to be somebody like the girl that came in and told us that both of her parents were in the circus.
Circus Vargas.
Instant hire. Really? I mean, right. You need to know anything else except for both parents are in the circus.
We got a great crop of interns right now, including one who is a former stripper and legal pot dealer working at a medical marijuana spot. We got her going on. We got one with the worst attitude of anyone I've ever worked with in my whole life. And then we've got Blinky. And I haven't really cracked the nut that is Blinky yet. What's this deal? This guy's deal?
Blinky goes to, Cal State Long Beach?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like Ray Romano.
No.
All right. Yes, you do.
Okay.
He's the guy who got smashed at our singles party, and there's video of it up at krock.com if you'd like to see that.
Yeah.
There's a behind the
great
music.
Video.
Yeah. And he hosts his own show down there at Cal State Long Beach where he plays like thrasher music at 9 in the morning.
Metal, hardcore, anything you want to bang your head to.
Is this a taste of what we're getting?
Yes, it is.
Is the reason you're here because you see yourself as having potentially a career as a broadcaster?
You know, I saw potential then I came here and I just get bombarded with ridicule every day. And
oh, but that's par for the course, dude.
Absolutely.
When you step
into this room, you get demolished. That's just the
way it is. Look, we all start somewhere. I mean, let's face it. You'd not be impressed with early tapes of the Kevin and Bean show. I mean, it does take a while to kind of get, to find your groove when you're on the radio.
We have aired many, many times the early Kevin and Bean days, which is all super embarrassing. But now it's your turn. I mean, now let's turn the spotlight on you if
all
you
don't
right,
mind. I'm ready for
Psycho
it.
Psycho Mike, what do we got here?
I dissected his air check. Okay. And he starts out breathing fire, which is great, but check out this awesome smooth segue right out of the first break.
And I'm going to get into a new band I've been listening to a little bit. They're called A Devil Wears Prada, and this is Dogs Can Grow Beards All Over.
Were you on moods or
something? Hang on. There it goes!
Tight. Drum tight.
That's not even the name of the band or the name of the song.
But at least it was tight.
I got it wrong.
Dude, he's respecting the music. He's let it breathe a little bit.
I thought you cut the music out. Tight. The music never started.
No, that was in real time how long it took him to start the song.
God. I cut it out too.
Look, you need to be quiet. I'm trying to play these clips, dude.
So then he does a little comedy chunk about all the things he promised himself he wouldn't do before he got on the air.
All right, that was The Devil Wears Prada with Dogs Can Grow Beards All Over. Very clever title. I'm laughing here. Not. Anyway, so I promised myself I wasn't going to say anyway when I was segueing between sentences, so every time I say that, I'm going to punch myself.
Hang on.
Ow.
Okay, so what he's done is he drops out the music, and then he punches himself, and then he says, ow, and then he continues.
All right. Is all right really any better?
What? Hits himself for all right.
It hurts. So Sean Lord came in the studio last Monday in my noontime slot at 9 p.m., and The Slaughter, the band from Fountain Valley, Orange County area, joined me. We had a great time. Unfortunately, that show wasn't recorded, so you can't hear it as one-time deal. But thanks to everyone who tuned in. Thanks to
it was so good. I got to tell you, we didn't record it, so you couldn't hear it. But, man, if you could have heard it, you would have loved it.
That's Rodney-esque right there. I did.
I was thinking the exact same thing, Mike. I haven't heard dynamic broadcasting like that since the Rodney Bickenheimer show. I really haven't.
He's the only other guy who I've heard say, I have this great interview with the Ramones. Well, I don't have it with me, but I have this great interview. Here's another schmoof seg.
And, yeah.
That's the whole thing. That's everything that he says well in between done. The songs.
Well done. So I saved the best for last. This is the gold. You know, we were talking earlier with Ed Begley Jr. on the morning show about how only some certain people can do impersonations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of that.
Very difficult.
A lot of this morning we're talking about off the air. But, yeah, I could try all day, every day, my entire life. I couldn't do accents.
Right? Well.
Or impressions or anything
else. We're in the company of a master of accents. Check out Blinky doing his Scottish accent.
Hi there, laddies. That was Winter Solstice with the Fallerome. And I'm here in the studio at kbitch.org, chilling with two fine ladies. But they ain't chilling with me, you know. Let's try it again. All right, we're going to get into a song... I lost it. I had it and I lost it.
You didn't have it.
I'm half
you never
hours.
Had it.
How
you never had it.
Should I be?
How
it
ashamed
like
should
Russian,
I be?
It was like Russian and then... Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was
and
not
then
a,
the Bahamas kind of thing.
It makes me feel good about my voice.
I don't even remember
right?
That.
Oh, don't say you don't remember it, Blinky.
Are you on medication?
I wish I had that excuse. It's just... It was at 9 a.m. I'm so lonely in there. It's like no one's around. All I have is my thoughts.
Yeah, it's ugly.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, listen, we're just one step above that. Let's be honest. We just are. Some days we're that bad. Some days we're just a step above. So,
but you got to give him a thumbs up, right?
Absolutely. Are you kidding?
Thank you. Thank you.
Blinky is going to be on from 6 to 10 tonight, so enjoy.
Congratulations to that guy from that town who called up and won Coldplay tickets. The show is sold out at the Honda Center on November the 25th, and we will continue to give away Coldplay tickets and Metallica tickets, you never know when, on the world-famous K-Rock, so just listen for your chance.
If you've seen the latest Us magazine, but it has a story about Heidi and Spencer Pratt.
Sure does, Chief.
Oh,
pretty much every copy does, you know. Got to stay in the headlines.
Doing? What are you doing here? Why are
you in the headlines? You invited me here.
Just trying to have a little fun, play a couple of records. Why do you have to stop by, Spencer?
Because I rule media. That's what I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Inexplicably, Spencer Pratt is one of the stars of MTV's The Hills, which, by the way, rumor is, Kevin, this is going to be the last season.
Oh,
rumors it's not coming back.
No! I hope
after
they still,
the finale.
I hope they still do the after show, though. I hope they keep up with that.
That is the best.
That is some good TV.
So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but that hasn't stopped Spencer from somehow turning his success on that program into turning up on other shows. And I guess How I Met Your Mother.
I like that hoodie you got, Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's pretty sick, Chief. All right, Captain. Where'd you get that?
I don't know.
You wear that, Tiger. That's good.
How I Met Your Mother, the hit CBS show, is your latest victim. Is that right, Spencey?
Well, they knew that they have a gold mine with my beautiful... bride-to-be, mm-hmm. Heidi, and me, mm-hmm. Automatically, I would say 4.8 billion people will tune in to watch. If
seems like a lot.
That's
a TV
no,
show.
It's science.
It's science. Okay.
They've got a logarithm that proves that anytime we're on television, it's at least like 4 billion people will watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to get like a 90 share. That's what at least my agent's estimating. All right.
I don't think that's likely, Spencer.
Listen, Brenda,
I
think you're on radio. Are you a specialist in television? Do you understand the way it goes?
Well,
do you understand that I bought an overnight bag last night, and it's Jean-Paul Gaultier?
I don't know what that has to do with anything. But look, I mean, you can't act, though. I mean, doesn't that concern you? Aren't you? I mean, you're going to be on the show with actors. You can't act.
What? I am I'm considered one of the most dangerous triple threats in all of show business. I may be the most finely finely tuned thespian there is in Hollywood working today. And when I'm paired up with my beautiful bride to be, Heidi, Heidi, it's like you don't. The film may just catch on fire. I'm very worried. It's a fire hazard having us on film.
Okay, let me just ask you a question about The Hills. They just follow. There's no script. They just follow you around with a camera.
A lot of times they have to tone me down. They say, "Be yourself," and I say, "I am. I'm this much on fire."
Okay. But that's not acting.
What are you going to be doing? Can you tell us anything about your appearance? I guess it's not going to air till January, but you've just filmed it this week. What are you and Heidi going to be doing on How I Met Your Mother?
Well, we've discussed many types of roles we could have on How I Met Your Mother, but
you already filmed it. What did you film?
Well,
what role
I want to keep
play?
That under wraps until you see it. It's like Edmund Burke once said, "To be or not to be, capitalism will show us through." In the sands of time.
Right.
Well, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
I think that's clear.
Exactly.
Kim Kardashian is rumored to be on the same episode. What? What? What's wrong with Kim?
Sorry, I just puked in my mouth when you mentioned that disgusting...
She's hot.
She's incredibly hot. What are you talking about,
fatty,
Spencer?
Fat pigs with pig
oh,
fat.
Oh, Spencer, you're ugly.
That's have you seen fair. That ass?
Yes.
Yes.
They
spectacular.
Oh, disgusting. Oh,
dude, listen. Most of us would step on Heidi's face to get to Kim Kardashian.
Well,
are you kidding me?
Message to all women. You should look like a Holocaust survivor with big boobs if you want to be... approved by men. That's it. She has way too much body weight. She's probably a size 3 or 4, and that's 4 too many. Okay? 0 is the ceiling.
When you say approved by men, you mean approved by you, by Spencer
Pratt. I'm right. And
okay,
I lay down the law. And by the way,
size 3, size 4 sounds pretty good to me.
If you like obese women, I understand a lot of guys. I understand it's a fetish. I understand it's a fetish for people, especially outside Los Angeles, to be with big fat pigs.
Kevin,
but by the way,
that's not a three size 3 and 4 is a small
tiger. Calm down. All right. Okay, I like your hoodie. I like your hoodie, Captain.
Okay, great.
Listen, How I Met Your Mother's just the beginning. I've got my own production company. Okay, Spideywood. And I've got like 5. Projects right here on the horizon.
Oh, no. We want The Hills to go away. We want you and Heidi to go away. We never want to see you again on our television sets.
The Hills may vanish. All right, Brenda?
Good.
Listen here, Captain. But next year, when I'm on Heroes...
You're not going to be on Heroes. It's not going to happen.
They have not spoken to you about
this. There's that bra that like absorbs people's thoughts.
Right.
I go on there. I actually absorb women's fat. I just go on and that's my hero's power. I'm like, hey, look at you, size 2. Then she can get into teddies because she's like 98 pounds, 6'1", bum, good.
Wait, so the girl that you take the fat from is a size 2?
Yeah, but she's like 6 feet tall, so it's disgusting. So I'm like, I go like this. Watch. And with my mental hero's power.
Have you talked to the people at Heroes?
Well, not officially, but...
Okay, well, that makes a difference.
But after I do my arc on Dr. 90210...
What?
You're not going to be on that show?
Yes, I am.
What is your arc on 90210?
I have this just like a duffel bag of 20-year-old girls' heads, and I lop off ugly old women's heads, and I surgically implant them.
What would you say...
And then forever. It's like Logan's Run. Women are always young.
What would you say the cutoff for an old woman is? What's the age that would be the cutoff?
It varies. There's a margin of error. You know, some women... Women can hold on to their good looks well into their elder ages, like they're like 28. But for the most part, I would say
that's the top.
The median's like 24.
Okay, so what are you going to do with Heidi then? Because Heidi's got to be getting close to that pretty soon.
No, Heidi's 9 years old. A lot of
people. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all.
Right now, I'm working on my arc on The Shield.
You're not on The Shield.
It's final season. They're adding me in to help boost ratings.
That's a tough-ass show on FX. It's great. You're not on it. No way do you fit in.
Want me to do a couple lines?
Yes, please.
Hey, Mackie, get the perp. Sick.
Okay, that's not going
to
happen.
Have you talked to the people at The Shield?
I saw Michael Chiklis at Kitson the other day.
Right.
He was trying on some pretty sick jeans. Mm-hmm. And I figured, hey, whatever. That's good enough, right?
All right, we gotta go, Spencer. We gotta go.
I'm producing a remake of Different Strokes.
We don't care. We're not Mr. Drummond.
I'll be Mr. Drummond. Look at my black kids, everybody.
All right, we're out of time. We gotta go. Thanks for stopping by, Spencer.
All right, sick.
Hey, now that we're on during this hour in the afternoon, do we have a shot at Nicole at all? Does it work like that? I don't know how it. I mean, it seems
she's
like,
outrageous.
That's what I understand. Anyway, she'll be on at 6 o'clock. Ralph has joined us in studio for the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday afternoon. What's going on, Ralph?
Paul Abdul killed a bitch.
What?
On TV.
I don't think you have the facts right there, Ralph. Doesn't
Indeed,
sound
been
like
covering the story all day. A dead woman found at Paula Abdul's house,
but she's not under suspicion.
No, she's under sedation.
Okay. Yeah,
she is. Okay. Victim was found in Paula's in a car just outside Paula's home, just yards from her front door. Police say cause of death may be a drug overdose. Cops say they know this woman because they've had to come to Paula's house numerous times before to deal with her. The victim is a big fan of Paula Abdul's, and by big fan, I mean stalker.
Oh.
Mm. And she is passed away in front of Paula's house.
Wow.
She made a sacrifice to the gods of Paula Abdul, offered herself up on the altar.
And now what's supposed to happen?
77 virgins?
That's right. Mm-hmm. She has 77 virgins. Yeah.
I doubt that Paula will remember it, though. It probably won't really affect her life all that much, because everything's pretty much a fog for her.
That's right.
Your essence is excellent, and you showed who you're a star now.
Red Hot Chili Peppers lead singer Anthony Kiedis is working on a new series for HBO. Daily Variety today says the show will be called Scar Tissue, and it's about Anthony's relationship with his father, Spider Kiedis. I had Spider Kiedis once.
Did you?
Yeah, you get that from a bad spider bite.
Yeah.
You know, they put in antibiotics for a week. Legend has it Spider used to sell drugs to rockers like The Who and to Led Zeppelin all the time while trying to get into show business himself. He would use his drug deals as sort of entree into the entertainment business.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
This could be an interesting series if that's the case. I hope they do it in, like, period, and you get to see, you know, him dealing with The Who and Led Zeppelin and stuff like that.
It would be cool.
Anthony's got a fascinating life, though. I mean, that dude, I mean, he really has had the highs and the lows.
What was your relationship like with your father, Anthony, since you're here in the studio?
Well... Wackadack smackadang California, wickadong bonga bonga wicka.
Wow, that does sound volatile.
It's going to be a good show.
The mayor of the Turkish city of Batman, that's right, it's called Batman, has filed suit against Warner Brothers, saying he wants a portion of the royalties from the movie The Dark Knight.
Well, I think that's deserved.
Hüseyin Kalkan, mayor of Batman in Turkey. That's where Turkish cities are, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Says that there's only one Batman in the world. The American producers used the name of our city without informing us.
I'm Batman, bitches!
Where was he in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s when Batman products were available all over the world?
Mail travels slow in the city of Batman. You just got a news clipping from 1939 saying that Batman was created back then. He says that since the movie's going to pass the $1 billion mark at the box office anytime soon, the city should get some of that money. Because, he says, when somebody from his city tries to do business overseas, they get laughed at. It's a problem.
Hmm.
He also says there's a number of unsolved murders and a high female suicide rate in his city, which he attributes directly to the movie.
What?
Sounds like that city needs Batman. Shouldn't be called Batman. It should have Batman because they got unsolved murders and people killing themselves.
Put light in the sky.
That's right. That's what they should do.
The hell.
I'm going to save the city of Batman.
What?
I'm going to save the city of Batman.
Scooby-Doo as Batman. And things went from bad to worse today. People magazine says the episode of How I Met Your Mother, starring Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt, has just received another cast member. Kim Kardashian will be joining the show as well.
We can confirm that. We had Spencer in here a few minutes ago, and he says, yes, that's true. They are, in fact, appearing on the same show.
He says she's fat as well.
Kim Kardashian's fat?
Yes.
That's what Spencer said, yeah.
Wow. Sounds like those people on Dancing with the Stars. You been following that controversy all year?
No, I don't watch that show.
A couple of the guy dancers over there said that Cheryl Burke, the smoking hot dancer there, and one of the other girls have put on too much weight. And they say it's discouraging to women at home to watch women dance like that and work out so hard and still be fat.
Really?
Yeah.
How heavy are they?
Two guy dancers said that in an interview, yeah. They said they're really disappointed at Cheryl and another girl.
How heavy are they?
I mean, not that
they're not.
Heavy at all.
Cheryl
they're
Burke just... did an interview. I saw it in People or one of those magazines where she said, you know, over the summer she went out and ate and drank and had a good time and put on, like, I don't know, 8 pounds or something, and they're all over about it.
Well, she got booted off American Idol last night or whatever that show is.
Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
She, her and her partner Maurice Greene, the Olympian, booted off the show.
For being too fat?
For being too fat.
That's brutal.
It's a rough show.
They were the bottom of the vote getters, so they're gone. Sorry to hear that.
Wow.
And a couple days ago, we were talking about Jim Caviezel. Remember Jim Caviezel?
Yes.
Who played Christ in The Passion of the Christ?
Sure.
We mentioned he had sort of dropped off the radar since that very high-profile role. Well, casting news comes out today, thanks to the people at The Hollywood Reporter. He's going to play a British Secret Service agent.
A British Secret Service agent.
Not James Bond. But he'll be investigating a big corporation headed by Samuel L. Jackson.
He's a really good actor. I
apparently,
like him.
His investigation leads him to discover an imminent terrorist attack. So, looks like an interesting film. The film is called Blown.
Blown.
Really?
Blown.
I rented that this past weekend.
No, you haven't. This is not made yet. Oh, no, right. This movie has not been made yet. But they may consider changing the title of the film before its release date. I'm just thinking. Because if it's bad, can you imagine the reviews? Blown balloon. Simple two-word review. You don't want to open yourself up to that.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Anne Hathaway from The Princess Diaries is 26 years old today. Ryan Gosling from The Notebook and from that movie where he played that guy.
Lars the Real Girl?
Yeah.
Oh.
With a real doll, when he was humping the real doll.
Yeah. Half Nelson,
half
too.
Half Nelson, too.
Half Nelson's great. Great actor.
28 years old. He just broke up with his girlfriend again. Makes everyone sad. Rachel McAdams?
Yeah.
From the co-star
like
from The Notebook.
Together.
They were a night couple. Yeah. Megan Mullally, Will and Grace, 50 years old. And singer Neil Young is 63 years old today. Oh, Neil. Yeah. You're not good.
He's great and always will be.
And by not and by great, you mean not a good
He's
singer.
He's the best. I love him so.
The voice and the damage done every time we hear him sing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We'll be back tomorrow, as I understand the new schedule. We're on from 5 in the morning until 9 in the morning. Is that right, Kevin?
That's correct, yes.
And then we have a big show tomorrow?
We have a huge show tomorrow. Seth Green in the studio.
Oh!
Talking about Robot Chicken, Star Wars, Episode 2.
Did you see him on Entourage this past week?
So funny. So
Seth
funny.
Green.
Seth Green?
Seth Green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have funny man Kevin Nealon in the studio tomorrow morning as well.
Awesome.
So we'll Sounds good. You. Don't go anywhere, though. Nicole Alvarez is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including the latest from Incubus. Also some Social D, Foo Fighters, Kings of Leon, and more right after this on K-Rock.